Governments around the world have been told to allow travellers banned by President Trump to resume travelling to America after a federal judge blocked the president's order on immigration. The White House says it will appeal the ruling, but the stage is set for a second weekend of chaos at airports across America. Our Washington correspondent Simon Marks reports.
In what increasingly feels like the beginnings of a constitutional crisis, the White House initially called the judge's decision outrageous and then removed the word from an updated statement. President Trump insists his order is lawful. The courts, in growing numbers, say it isn't. Airlines have been told travelers from the affected countries can board planes once again, setting the stage for a second weekend of chaos at American airports when they get here.
Meantime, Foreign Minister Julie Bishop insists processing of refugees on Manus Island and Nauru is going ahead despite uncertainty over whether America will honour a refugee settlement deal. She says she's expecting a strict vetting regime for any refugees the US may take, but says the details are yet to be formalised.
The Australian government remains in contact with the Trump administration, and our embassy in Washington is also working closely with US officials, and we expect that the vetting process would be as tough as Australia's vetting process is in terms of health and security checks.
Firefighters are continuing to monitor a grass fire that raged through 111 hectares of grassland in Melbourne's northwest, threatening homes. The fire in Buller and Diggers Rest was downgraded to an advice warning last night after an emergency warning earlier in the day for people to evacuate. Firefighters continued to monitor the scene overnight. Two Sydney men charged with assaulting another man and stealing his car are behind bars after they were refused bail. Police say both men in their 20s were allegedly being driven by the 31-year-old man on Georges River Road at Croydon Park just before the assault on Friday night. The victim got out of his car and walked to the rear when he was allegedly set upon by the two men. The pair violently assaulted the man before stealing his car and mobile phone. Both men appeared via audiovisual link in Parramatta Bail Court yesterday, where their bail applications were denied. A candlelight vigil will be held tonight for murdered mother of four, Teresa Bradford. The Gold Coast woman was killed by her estranged husband at her Pimpama home on Tuesday morning before he took his own life. A Facebook page has been set up to promote the event, which will take place from 6:30 outside Miss Bradford's home. David Bradford broke into Miss Bradford's home and killed her just 2 weeks after he was granted bail over a violent November attack in which she was choked and bashed. And briefly overseas, just a day after America imposed sanctions, Iran is carrying out military exercises testing its short-range missile and radar systems. This is Air News. It's the final day of the Davis Cup tie, and for his preview, here's Air Sports Paul Walsh.
Australia heads into day three of the Davis Cup tie here at Kooyong with a guarantee advancement to the quarterfinals after the combination of Pierce and Groth secured a 3-0 lead for the Aussies. The reverse singles will now be both dead rubbers, and for the captain Leighton Hewitt, it may provide the opportunity to showcase some of our new talent.
I think it would be much more beneficial to see that next generation coming through. And it kind of gives those young guys a taste of it as well, because Davis Cup is it's a different beast.
Paul Walsh at Kooyong for Air Sport.
Australia's men have recovered from a loss to New Zealand to secure a spot in the Sydney Rugby Sevens quarterfinals. The hosts succumbed 26-14 to the Kiwis in the pool stage at Allianz Stadium yesterday, but convincing subsequent wins over Scotland and Papua New Guinea were enough to play second in Group C. The women failed to score a second-half point as they fell to Canada 12-7 in the semi-finals. And cricketer Emma Carney has shown she'll be a force to be reckoned with in the AFL Women's League, guiding the Western Bulldogs to a 32-point win over Fremantle. Carney gathered a game-high 21 disposals as the Bulldogs surged home to claim a 6-8-44 to 1-6-12 victory before a crowd of just over 10,000 at Witten Oval last night. In the other game, Adelaide beat GWS by 36 points. Australian Independent Radio News.
Sky Sports Radio, Sydney weather.
Sydney's weather, and if you're just waking up this morning, Jim, it's no surprise that we're heading for a very, very hot day, because currently it's about 27 or 28 degrees, a very uncomfortable night, but we're heading for a very hot day, partly cloudy, only a lot, very slight chance of a shower or thunderstorm later on today. Sydney's heading for a top temperature of 38. 8 degrees. Slip, slop and slap, everyone, today. Jimmy, what about at Balmain? What's the current temperature there? And what's the forecast for Sir Donald Bradman territory down at Bowral?
Haven't you done it already, the current temperature?
Sort of.
Yeah, you did. Thanks, Paramat. One of our listener ideas there. Yeah, Balmain, current temperature 28 degrees, so very warm overnight. And if you go to Bowral, home of the Don, it's going to be a hot one there, no surprise. Possible afternoon shower, though. 36 degrees in the Southern Highlands.
Lose the beer gut without losing all the beers. G'day, Adam McDougall here.
The Man Shake helped me lose weight, and now I have more energy to be a better dad.
Shake off those extra kilos today at themanshake.com.au.
Consult your GP before beginning any diet.
All covered, all ground, all beaten. Franco won the Champion Stakes and lived up to the fight.
International racing at its very best, 7 days a week
across the Sky Racing Network.
Inglis Classic is firmly in the spotlight. In 2016, Inglis Classic has produced 19 individual stakes winners, including 5 at Group 1 level, such as Yankee Rose, I Am a Star, and Extreme Choice. 600 yearlings across 3 days, and new to 2017, the Gold Raband session on Saturday night. Join us on the 11th to 13th of February at Newmarket, Sydney. Inglis Classic catalogue at inglis.com.au.
Came Flying Artie, the Capitalist, the Magic Millions winners drawn clear in the slipper. Yankee Rose home into second, the Capitalist takes it out. Capitalist by a half length to Yankee Rose.
On Sky Sports Radio, welcome to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend. Brought to you by Penrith Mazda, Mulgoa Road, Penrith. Here's your hosts, Jimmy Smith and Ray Thomas.
Hope you're having a great start to your Sunday. I know we are looking forward to the next 3 hours, right up until 9 o'clock. Ray and Jimmy in the hot seat here at the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend. Massive program. There, I've said it, Ray.
First time this year.
I know. Held off until early Feb, but it is going to be a big program. We've got our race replays coming up just after 6:30. We've got Benjamin Smith, first stakes win for him within her time. Glenn Schofield with Del Cielo.
Nice horse, Jim.
Yeah, really good. Lucia Valentina. And the
looked a bit like it, didn't it? Darkish colour.
Exactly.
And the,
flashing
obviously
home.
The owner's the same.
So. Flashing home. Andrew Adkins was also had his first stakes win on board in her time, so we'll have a chat to Andrew as well. I think that'll be the first time we speak to Andrew.
Correct.
On our Sunday morning show. Anthony Cummings, we've spoken to him a number of times. He had a good winner with Man from Uncle. Andy Pascalidis from the World of Football. Liverpool fans,
yeah,
turn away
rub it
now.
In. Rub it in.
Event Cinema's quiz, it'll be a double pass to the VMAX that we're giving away today, courtesy of Prakash and the team out there at Event Cinema's at Parramatta. We'll have the scratchings for the two meetings around New South Wales. By the way, get on the tips of Ray Thomas. 2 from 2 last week. Thanks very much.
Pressure's on. Did you back him last week, Jim?
Absolutely.
Well done.
First time. I missed the 15. Well, first time I got both.
Oh, okay.
I missed the $15 winner the week before. Mm-hmm. I lost faith there for a little while, but
yeah,
I was back
faith.
Last week. Now, our legend of the game is back. Given the fact the Auckland Nines are on, we thought we'd go rugby league, and we thought we'd also go New Zealand. And as a result of that, they don't get much bigger than this. Gary the Wiz Freeman.
I reckon you played with Gary the Wiz Freeman.
I reckon you're right. In 1992-93 okay. at the Roosters.
Did you break into the first grade team about then?
Yes, about then. And Gary the Wiz Freeman was the Dally M winner.
What was he like?
Competitive.
I reckon, at training as well?
Everywhere.
Yeah, I reckon he would be that sort of
everywhere.
Person, wasn't he?
Yeah. Wanted to win everything.
Fair Gary enough. You'd love to have him on your team rather than playing against him.
He told a really great story in the presence of my late father to me up at the Leagues Club one night, talking about how hard he trained on Christmas Day.
Mm. On
Christmas Day. Because he knew no one else was training on that day.
Gee, that says it all.
So he trained.
Did you start training Christmas Day after that?
I have trained on Christmas Day.
So have I.
It was after my playing days. But You know, Debbie Flintoff King was another one like that. Her two hardest training sessions of the year, Christmas Day and her birthday.
It doesn't surprise me knowing Debbie Flintoff King.
And of course, she won gold medal by
LA, wasn't it?
Seoul,
yeah.
And she won by
that last surge over the 100 metres.
400 metres hurdles, yeah. Fantastic. Anyway, Gary the Whiz Freeman, great to have a chat with him. Nick Quinn will be along from tab.com.au. Harry Conway, young New South Wales Sheffield Shield cricketer. He's broken in for this season, and they've had a huge win by an innings and 70s. Isn't it good to beat the Victorians? I don't care if it's by one run, but by an innings and 77. How good is that?
And that was their first loss in six Shield games so far this season for the Sheffield Shield leading Victorians.
Maybe
the Blues right in contention. Yeah.
Maybe the Australian selector's got it right. Cameron White, there you go. Missed out. Good to see. Dick Fain will have a Super Bowl 51 preview. Of course, the Atlanta Falcons up against the New England Patriots, Tom Brady and Bill Belichick.
Have they replaced the Dallas Cowboys as America's team?
No.
Okay.
No, they haven't. They're a great team. Mm. And this combination, there's been no other coach-player combination that has won five Super Bowls, excluding Lombardi.
The great Vince Lombardi.
Under Lombardi, yeah. There's a couple of players did it there.
Of all time.
So there you go, Tom Brady and Bill Belichick. Up against Matt Ryan and the Atlanta Falcons. Matt Ryan has put together an unbelievable season. Mm. His numbers, just incredible. You know that, just on Tom Brady, who's pretty much just got the perfect life, right? Yep. He's 39 years of age. He's married to a supermodel. Things are going okay for Tom.
He's a
three-time MVP of the...
Four-time Super Bowl winner already, is he?
Four-time Super Bowl winner, three-time MVP of the Super Bowl, two-time league MVP.
Done it all.
Things are going okay for him. He was, of course, out for four games at the start of this season for Deflategate. Yes. But subsequent to that, he's come back. He had two interceptions in the regular season. Mm. Two.
Extraordinary.
In the regular season.
Extraordinary.
Just amazing.
He can play.
39 years of age. And we'll talk, of course, we're going to take your calls across any subject. 1353 is the open line number. 0419 SMS BSB is the SMS number. 0419 767 272. And, of course, you can get us on the tweets as well at Big Sports WEND. At Big Sports WEND. Already a bit of feedback coming in about this AFLW. Of course, they couldn't have it WAFL because that's the waffle. So they had to have AFL.
They could have had
the
LAFL, couldn't they? The LOF or something. But anyway, but keep going.
They didn't. But just incredible the scenes down there at Princess Park on Friday, Ray Thomas.
Home of the Blue Boys. Home of the Blue Girls now.
I'll tell you what, if I was a Blues supporter, I'd be getting on the girls' team rather than the boys' team.
Tell you what,
big win for them first up. Good morning, mate.
Yeah, good morning, Jimmy. Good morning, everyone. Skills weren't great, but geez, they were willing, the girls' teams. I watched a couple of the games, or little bits of them, and a fair bit of the Carlton-Collingwood game, and they were pretty willing, Jim.
Yeah. I tell you what, that's one game that won't get me.
Okay, fair enough. Hey, what a week in sport it's been, though.
The tickets were free.
Yeah, exactly. So they had turned 2,000 people away, but another 10,000 turned up at Witten Oval, but that's the way it is. What a week in sport, Jim. Roger Federer last Sunday seemed an eon ago, what a match. That was one of the most compelling sporting contests I've seen in a long, long time.
Just amazing.
Five sets over Rafael Nadal, who played fantastic as well. And what about their speeches afterwards? Aren't both men just absolute gentlemen, pure class?
Well, ambassadors for their sport, taking the game beyond the
ambassadors
sport.
Ambassadors for humanity, really.
Yeah.
They are just fantastic. Mundine Green, I didn't catch up with the fight, but I've heard a lot of the expert commentators since, and it seems that if Mundine wasn't robbed, he was very unluckily beaten, and how one judge scored it 98-90 is extraordinary.
And that's the problem. That's the problem. If it wasn't scored, so it was 94-94,
96-94,
but 98-90, that's the one that everyone goes, well, hang on a minute, that it's so far out of kilter.
Did you catch any of the fight?
Yeah, I watched it all. I know boxing a little bit.
What's your view on it?
Oh, I could accept that Danny Green was the winner.
Really? Okay.
But I could also accept that Anthony Mundine. You know, there's some rounds where you go, who scored the most? Who got the 10 and who got the 9 in that round?
I was listening to
was a really controversial moment with that. Where he lost the point, Mundine.
Where he hit him after the clinch.
Because it rattled him.
Yeah.
Stopped the fight for an extended period. Having a look at Danny Green.
It looked like he was concussed for most of the fight and the highlights that I saw. So.
And just hearing about all the injuries that he took into that. Mm. It's good to know that he's giving it away.
Yes, but apparently the contest itself was pretty willing and
unbelievable.
Fair fight.
So, unbelievable.
And we both had our doubts last Sunday. Yep. Jim, we haven't even mentioned the NRL Nines. I didn't see any of it yesterday. You would have seen a fair bit of it. Who impressed you so far? And I heard St George have a new absolute speedster, which they need. Young Jai Field, is it?
Jai Field? It's actually Jai Field.
Jai Field.
It's spelled
J-A-I.
It's spelled Jai, and I was getting it wrong last year till I was told
about
it. It's Jai Field. He's a quality young player. He scored a couple of amazing tries that only he could score. He's 78 kilos, and he's going to miss tackles if you put him in the NRL, but put him in. I said it yesterday, you know, Paul McGregor's going to live and die by some of the decisions he makes at the selection table this year, and
Roll the dice and play him?
Better to die on your feet than live on your knees. And this is a guy that can score points for them.
And what about Kalen Tonga?
Kalen Ponga?
Ponga.
Yeah, gee, didn't Newcastle get him cheap? Seriously, he is serious talent. He is. And I know it's Nines and there's a lot of space there and it doesn't, you know. But the footwork that he shows, straight line speed, game awareness, it's just ridiculous. I mean, JT's a sideshow compared to the KP show over there. They look sensational, the Cowboys. They were well found in the market. I think Tab had them at $4.50 into $4 when they released their team, and everyone wondered how much time Jonathan Thurston would get. But they are. Jason Taumalolo is playing, thanks very much. In one tackle yesterday, four players were required to bring him to the ground. That only leaves another five, Ray, trying to defend all these other blokes.
Who's your tip then? What you've seen so far for day one?
Oh,
who wins the whole thing?
I'd love to see a final of Parramatta versus the Cowboys. Parramatta, Corey Norman. Corey Norman had a interesting season last year. He was player of the tournament at the Nines. They were stripped of it. And then all of a sudden, Corey Norman played superb football for Parramatta, and then, of course, had the indiscretion where he was out for the last 8 weeks of the season. He was very remorseful in what he said in an interview that I saw and read after the event. If he's serious about that, Ray, he could set alight the NRL in 2017. He's a quality player. And then when you put his ball-playing skills and you put Bevan French on one wing and Semirad Radri... Did anyone see Semirad Radri yesterday? Wait. You could not look more athletic.
Really? So he's trained on well over summer?
Oh, he's trained on well. Rock hard fit. Don't worry. I tell you, if he'd lined up in the 100 metres final at the Olympics, he'd go, yeah, fair enough. There he is, Semirad Radri.
What about my good friend Brian Fletcher? They didn't want to basically go to Auckland and play. They've called for the whole thing to be banned. They're 2-0, and now they're going to try and win the whole damn thing. Can Penrith do it?
Well, they played really well. Dylan Edwards is a young star. James Tarmo. Do you ever think he was that quick? Did you know?
Did he show some speed?
Oh,
did he
scored a 50-metre try.
Oh, wow.
He's unbelievable. He did it again, too, James.
I'll be watching it today. I can't wait.
A mate of mine texted me and said, should James Tarbo be playing on an edge? Like an edge. Imagine him on an edge forward. He's about 115 kilos just running at Jai Field. Imagine that during the course of a game.
The reason I bring up Jai Field is because I actually bumped into two people that you know extremely well yesterday at the races.
Oh, yeah? Who's that?
I was introduced to Bob Millwood and his son Ian Millwood.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Where are they from, those two? The Illawarra region.
Very big St George men, and they did say that Jai
Field... St George Illawarra, mate.
St George Illawarra.
St George Illawarra.
They did say that Jai Field's in for a big season. Ian also said that he crossed paths with you and your playing days at Salford when he was coach of St Helens.
He was coach of St Helens. They had the biggest forward pack in the league and they just used to bash you.
And can I tell you how he described you? Is it fair?
Yeah, go on. Because I get on quite well with Ian. How did he describe it? Surely it was a positive description?
I'll let you sum it up.
Go on, what did he say?
He said you were a very, very wide-running, slowish second rower.
Well, there's one thing I'll say about Ian Millwood. He's accurate. good on you, Bobby Steeler.
Lovely blokes, and they're tipping a good year for the Mighty Dragons.
By the way, I would have sent him a text message. He left a nasty message on my phone.
Off my phone.
From your phone. Would love to have got stuck into him.
But they're listeners to the show.
Good morning, Bobby. He's the recruitment manager at St George Illawarra. They're 0-2 at the Auckland Nine. So who on earth picked those players?
Ian Millwood was a man who did secure Ben Hunt for 2018.
Oh, he's blowing his own trumpet, was he? There you go.
No, I'm doing it for him.
But they're
listeners to the show, Jim, so...
Good morning,
Bob and Ian.
There we go. We might send him out a double pass to go somewhere. Probably not come back. 135353 is the open line number. Here we go. It's obvious Donald Trump is onto something when he talks about fake news, the journos, TV and radio commentators talking about the sellout crowds. to women's AFL. The tickets were free. That's from Paul at Huskisson. Hasn't texted in for a little while, Paul at Huskisson, but we do appreciate. Yeah, you got that exactly right.
His next one's good.
Yeah, we won't get to that a little bit later. 1353 53 is the Avalon number. We'll take a break, and then after the break, we're going to release our talk topic for the day. And it comes on the back of the golf. By the way, the Phoenix Open, we'll give you an update during the course of that. Just to let you know, some sad news for Australians overnight with Stephen Bowditch arrested for drink driving. He was 2.5 times over the legal limit, Ray.
That's sad, isn't it?
Yeah. I think he got in trouble at the party hole at the Phoenix Open. He sat through two green lights, which alerted a nearby police car that something's not quite right here.
Did he go out and play?
He was released on bail to make
his tee time.
Unfortunately, didn't make the cut, Stephen Bowditch. I just wonder if the Daily Telegraph are going to have the atrocity watch on PGA Golf. Between he and Robert Allenby, they wouldn't last a week.
Wouldn't have enough print space.
Lose the beer gut without losing all the beers. G'day, Adam McDougall here.
My husband lost his beer gut and now is happier and healthier than ever, thanks to the Manshake.
Shake off those extra kilos today at themanshake.com.au.
Consult your GP before beginning any diet.
G'day, Glenn McGrath here from the McGrath Foundation. Want to bring the magic of the Pink Test to your own community this summer? Host a Pink Stubbs Day with your club, your school, or in your own backyard, and help raise funds for McGrath breast cancers in communities across Australia. You can have fun while helping make life a little bit easier for families going through breast cancer. Find out how at pinkstumpsday.com.au. Together, we can make a difference.
The Big Sports Breakfast Weekend is brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the number one BT50 dealer in New South Wales. Mongoa Road, Penrith.
And welcome back to the show with Jimmy and Ray. Jimmy, did you happen to catch the Nitro Athletics last night on Channel 7?
I saw a little bit. I didn't lock in for much.
Oh, it was fantastic. You must watch it Thursday night. It was compelling.
Okay. The teams events, aren't they?
Well, they are, and they're mixed. There was a 4x100 relay, which Usain Bolt, that was the only one he ran in for the night.
Right.
How about this for... They start off with a Safa Powell onto Usain Bolt, then they have the two women finishing off the relay. They were that far in front of the rest, but it was fantastic to watch.
And so is Usain run for Jamaica? Is that
runs
a team,
the Bolt All-Stars, they're called.
The Bolt All-Stars?
Yes.
Okay.
Australia had a representative team there. England were there. New Zealand were there. It was really, really good, compelling to watch.
Wonder what the TV numbers were like.
Well, I hope they were good because it was really fast. It was like, I don't know, athletics version of 2020, I suppose.
Okay.
Of course, it went from one thing to the next. There was mixed competition. It was fantastic.
That'll be great until someone pings a hammy, I suppose, isn't it?
Well, yeah. But there's two more to go, Thursday night and next Saturday night in Melbourne.
With Bruce McAvaney.
Bruce was
I saw
back.
Him doing all the pre-publicity.
He was there.
He was there, good.
And
you would have relaxed then.
Well, just hearing his voice was great because he hasn't replied to my text, so I'm a bit worried about that. The Kings. Tam went and saw him last Sunday. They played out of their skins.
Well, they had a record
night.
Win, didn't they?
Last night.
Sunday.
Yeah, had a huge crowd, over 11,000. That's the most they've had this century. And they've crashed and burned against Melbourne United. And to put it bluntly, their finals hopes are on life support now, Jim.
Brad Newley, we spoke to last week, and of course...
He played last night.
Yeah, which was good, because was a hamstring too, I think?
Yeah,
he's
had a hammy for most of the month.
But
yeah.
He told us about the Jason Kadee story, which was well covered too after the game last week. So, they've given us fans a roller coaster ride, haven't they?
The Kings, up
the
and
Sydney
down,
Kings,
up and down.
Just incredible. Now, we've got a talk topic to release right now.
Yes.
It's on the back of Tiger Woods. Now, Tiger's struggling. He's missed the cut. He pulled out. Yeah, at the Dubai Desert Classic. You just wonder, or you just get the feeling that that's going to be a familiar tale throughout the course of 2017.
Didn't someone say he'd come back and win a PGA Tour event this year?
Oh, I didn't want to bring it up, but someone in this room did. Yes.
I'm still going to back it in.
You're still saying he's going to win a PGA. It might be the one there he just invites people, just the 24 people. So, maybe. Maybe just him. But our talk topic is sports people who hung on too long. Sports people who hung on too long. Can you...
Well, my all-time sporting hero, I think, did.
Who's that?
The great Muhammad Ali. The fight he had against Larry Holmes was... It was tragic to watch. And he came back and fought Trevor Burbick about a year or so later and got hammered again.
And that's when
early stages of the Parkinson's were visible, weren't they?
And I don't think, you wonder if people in Muhammad Ali's circle of friends were game enough to say, hey, mate, you can't keep doing this.
You've got to say no to him, don't you? Yeah.
That's the obvious one for me.
There's the obvious one. So people who hung on too long, this will upset you as well. Mm. Graham Changalanglands.
Oh.
It wasn't the white boots. He came back and played the year after, played a few games the year after, 1976 as well.
I saw him, he and Billy Smith, play for St George at Penrith Park in 76.
Yeah. Yeah, he came back and played a few games in 76. But
about six or seven rounds he pulled the pin, I'm tipping.
Yeah,
he
did. Yeah. So I thought we got to halfway through the season. But there
could
you go.
Right. Could be right.
And it was on the back of that painkilling injection that went wrong in the 1970s. He couldn't feel his leg. He was trying to kick for line, and he couldn't.
And that was horrible to watch.
So players who hung on too long. There's another one, a very, very obvious one.
Mm.
Stuart Clark. he was gone 2 years before he called quits on it. He wobbled in at about 122, 125 kilometres an hour, and all to pick up a paycheck.
But you know what, Jimmy?
Yeah.
He's got a baggy green for the rest of his life.
And deserved it. His numbers at that level were outstanding. However, just squeezed the lemon a little too much. 1353 is the open line number. Let's go to callers now. Doug is on the line, wants to tell us about people who hung on too long. G'day, Doug.
G'day, Jimmy. G'day, Ray. How are you?
Good,
really
morning,
well,
Doug.
Mate.
That's good. I love your show.
Thanks, Doug.
I was going to talk about Alan Langer come back when he's retired and then played again in the Origin match.
He played out of his skin, didn't he, in that Origin match?
Scored a try and they flogged him.
He played well. There was this
and
season,
you know, you forget about the other thing you forget about with Alan Langer. Wayne Bennett tapped him on the shoulder and said, "You've got to retire."
Go, yeah.
Yeah. And then that was in 1999. Then the same coach brought him back in 2001 play in the Origin game. He was playing at Warrington. He flew him. He flew him from Warrington to the US to Australia, so that people didn't put two and two together when he was coming back. But then he came and played a full year with the Broncos in 2002.
That's right.
Yeah. And he played good football all the time, and he was a good representative of Queensland.
Oh, he's a great.
$50 that day, too, on the Orrington match.
Hang on a minute, Doug.
Are you a
New South Welshman?
Yeah, I did, but I was at Queensland that time.
Ah, well, you can't let that punning be ruled by your heart,
exactly,
can you?
Which is a mistake we often make, isn't it?
Jimmy.
Good on you, Dougie.
Thank you, Doug. Ryan, Jim.
Thanks, Doug.
Yeah, good on you, Dougie. We always get a call from Dougie on a Sunday morning, which is great.
You always win from the first callers, Doug. Yeah.
SMS coming in here, Raymond. Give the women's AFL a while before drawing any conclusions, as all the interest now may just be the novelty factor. No name on that one. So I agree there's a strong element of that. And there's no competition for it.
At the moment,
there's nothing on.
This is also from Paul at Huskisson. Ray, you say AFLW skills weren't great. That's the understatement of the year. You'll get better skills at the end of the BSB lines from tables 25 and 26.
Well, that's a lie.
Because that's where my gang is sitting and we're in our 60s. There you go.
Well, I hope your gang's more highly skilled than you, Paul. I've seen you after a BSB lunch. It's not pretty.
And this is interesting. Mundine should have been disqualified for what he did in the first round. That was that punch where he's... A lot of people say he actually concussed Green after the referee separated from the clinch. One point is a joke. No wonder he got so brave later in the fight, as he wouldn't have had the nerve to go toe-to-toe with an unimpaired Green. He certainly cemented my long-held position of him as... Well, yeah, okay, but I get his point.
He polarises like no other, doesn't he, Anthony Mundine?
Is it true, and I read this, that when both boxers walked in, the majority of the crowd were for Danny Green.
Totally.
Towards the end of the fight, it had switched around. Is that correct?
Oh, no, it switched around, but I think you have to respect what Anthony Mundine did.
He's a remarkable athlete.
Now, for him to be able to do that, and talking to boxing aficionados, speaking to my mate Dingo, who's had a couple of professional bouts, he said, you know, you don't lose your power when you get older. So that worked in Danny Green's favour. But you do lose your speed.
Correct.
So that worked against Anthony Mundine. But despite all that, despite the hip operation, and remember, he was an elite athlete 1994, 1993, 1994, playing his, and he's still going 23 years later.
Is that it for both men?
Well, Mundine's adamant. That's it. Mm-hmm. Mundine's adamant. I suppose you look at, they're 1-1 now, which, it sets up a... decide.
It'll tease them, won't it? In the back of their minds.
Well,
sporting spirit in them, both of them.
I don't know what they'll do, but they'll never get a payday like that one.
Correct.
Outside of that. 1353-53, the open line number. Time for the news on the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend.
Airlines around the world have been told to allow travellers banned by President Trump to resume travelling to America after a federal judge blocked the president's order on immigration. The White House says it will appeal the ruling, but the stage is set for a second weekend of chaos at airports across America. Our Washington correspondent Simon Marks reports.
In what increasingly feels like the beginnings of a constitutional crisis, the White House initially called the judge's decision outrageous and then removed the word from an updated statement. President Trump insists his order is lawful. The courts, in growing numbers, say it isn't. Airlines have been told travelers from the affected countries can board planes once again, setting the stage for a second weekend of chaos at American airports when they get here.
Meantime, Foreign Minister Julie Bishop insists processing of refugees on Manus Island and Nauru is going ahead despite uncertainty over whether America will honour a refugee settlement deal. She says she's expecting a strict vetting regime for any refugees the US may take, but says the details are yet to be formalised.
The Australian government remains in contact with the Trump administration, and our embassy in Washington is also working closely with US officials, and we expect that the vetting process would be as tough as Australia's vetting process is in terms of health and security checks.
Firefighters are continuing to monitor a grass fire that raged through 111 hectares of grassland in Melbourne's northwest, threatening homes. The fire in Buller and Diggers Rest was downgraded to an advice warning last night after an emergency warning earlier in the day for people to evacuate. Firefighters continued to monitor the scene overnight. Two Sydney men charged with assaulting another man and stealing his car are behind bars after they were refused bail. Police say both men in their 20s were allegedly being driven by the 31-year-old man on Georges River Road at Croydon Park just before the assault on Friday night. The victim got out of his car and walked to the rear when he was allegedly set upon by the two men. The pair violently assaulted the man before stealing his car and mobile phone. Both men appeared via audio-visual link in Parramatta Bail Court yesterday, where their bail applications were denied. A candlelight vigil will be held tonight for murdered mother of four, Teresa Bradford. The Gold Coast woman was killed by her estranged husband at her Pimpamar home on Tuesday morning before he took his own life. A Facebook page has been set up to promote the event, which will take place from 6:30 outside Miss Bradford's home. David Bradford broke into Miss Bradford's home and killed her just 2 weeks after he was granted bail over a violent November attack in which she was choked and bashed. And briefly overseas, just a day after America imposed sanctions, Iran is carrying out military exercises testing its short-range missile and radar systems. This is Air News. It's the final day of the Davis Cup tie, and for his preview, here's Air Sports' Paul Walsh.
Australia heads into day three of the Davis Cup tie here at Kooyong with a guarantee advancement to the quarterfinals after the combination of Pearce and Groth secured a 3-0 lead for the Aussies. The reverse singles will now be both dead rubbers, and for the captain Leighton Hewitt, it may provide the opportunity to showcase some of our new talent.
I think it would be much more beneficial to see that next generation coming through. And it kind of gives those young guys a taste of it as well, because Davis Cup is it's a different beast.
Paul Walsh at Kooyong for Air Sport.
Australia's men have recovered from a loss to New Zealand to secure a spot in the Sydney Rugby Sevens quarterfinals. The hosts succumbed 26-14 to the Kiwis in the pool stage at Allianz Stadium yesterday, but convincing subsequent wins over Scotland and Papua New Guinea were enough to play second in Group C. The women failed to score a second-half point as they fell to Canada 12-7 in the semi-finals. And cricketer Emma Carney has shown she'll be a force to be reckoned with in the AFL Women's League, guiding the Western Bulldogs to a 32-point win over Fremantle. County gathered a game-high 21 disposals as the Bulldogs surged home to claim a 6-8-44 to 1-6-12 victory before a crowd of just over 10,000 at Whitten Oval last night. In the other game, Adelaide beat GWS by 36 points. Australian Independent Radio News.
Sky Sports Radio, Sydney weather.
Hot. Partly cloudy, but hot. 20% chance of a shower or thunderstorm this afternoon.
Thanks,
light
Scoop.
Becoming northwesterly, 15. It's hot now. Yeah. 15 to 25 kilometres an hour in the morning, then turning northeasterly, 20 to 30 kilometres in the late morning and afternoon. A maximum temperature for Sydney Town today of 38 degrees. Wow, that is hot. Now, what about at Warramoo, Raymond? And let's head up to Jamie Lyon country and Wee War.
Yeah, Warramoo currently is 24 degrees, a little bit.
That's reasonable.
It's nice up there. Yeah. They are heading for a top of 38, which is pretty hot up there in the lower Blue Mountains. Wee War currently is 26 degrees, heading for a top temperature today of 40 degrees in Wee War.
The Big Sports Breakfast Weekend is brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the number one BT50 dealer in New South Wales. Mongoa Road, Penrith.
And welcome back to the show with Jimmy and Ray. Jimmy, what did you think of the announcement of the Everest, Sydney's potential $10 million race in October?
You know, it was on the back of the race last week that we were talking about.
Pegasus World Cup.
Pegasus World Cup. I'm concerned about my only... Well, there's a couple of concerns. My concern is, why 1,200 metres?
Mm-hmm.
Why not longer distance?
You
I know Australia
have... to answer that? Because of our depth of sprinting talent.
Right.
And the potential to get more high-class runners, sprinters from Australia in the race, hopefully with some international competition.
It has to be international. This sets itself up for international. And if it's not international, if you've got a horse like a standout, like a Black Caviar or nearly even a Chautauqua, who you think it's going to be really hard to beat,
yeah,
why would you pay the $600,000?
Okay, I think from what it looks like, Jimmy, it won't necessarily be the owners who will pay the money.
Right.
From what I understand, there are major businesses / corporations lining up.
Right. Are they Australian-based or international?
Some right. international.
Right.
To purchase a what they call a slot or a starting position, I prefer to call. At least you know what it means then.
Yeah, yeah.
And then they'll then approach, say, the owners of a Chautauqua or the owners of a Fell Swoop or the owners of an Astern, etc.
But if there's that one horse that's a standout, why would you approach any others?
Because what they say in racing, Jim, it's no such thing as a certainty. Aside from Black Caviar, they can all be beaten. So.
Yeah, okay.
So it's worth, you know, they might think it's worth the gamble in terms of the advertising dollars.
So you might have a really good sprinter that, with a syndication of, say, 10 people who are involved in it, say, look, we haven't got the $600,000, but the Commonwealth Bank comes along and says, you know what, we're going to have a, obviously probably not a bank thing to do, but we're going to have a
business,
this. We'll cover that for you. We will take back that entry fee with any prize
and
money.
Negotiate
and
some prize money.
Anything after that, we'll split it with you.
They'll negotiate with them, but they might ask for some advertising, sort of whatever.
Yeah.
So there's all these sort of permutations to roll out. So
I don't mind that then.
It's a different concept. Do you think people are getting their head around it slowly? And look, racing has to be innovative, don't they? Like,
absolutely.
Is,
absolutely.
And it's easy to say this won't work. Don't, you know, what a waste of time, and it's for the rich. Well, it is for the rich because they're the ones who are putting the money in. It's like a yearling sale market. You and I can't go and buy the $1 million yearlings at the Magic Millions, can
we? There is a way to do that. We'll get to that. We'll get to that very shortly. But that way works. So if you bought a $40,000 yearling that turns out to be takeover target.
Well, the classic example is Fell Swoop. He was purchased for $45,000.
Yeah.
Syndicate of owners, most of them probably battlers. Good luck to them. They've hit the jackpot. The horse has won $1.3 million.
Happy days.
Potentially win a lot more money this prep. Good luck to Matty Dale and his owners. They might not necessarily have the money to stump up to buy a starting position, but I'm tipping someone might come and knock them on the shoulder if the horse is in form.
Yeah. So. Well, that means, what, distance races are dead?
No, not at all. No. Well,
but all I'm saying is... If you add this sort of thing into it as well.
Well, I think there's only room for one race of this type in Australia.
Yes.
So hence the reason Racing New South Wales have gone forward with this announcement during the week, because they're worried about being gazumped, because there apparently other clubs were looking and jurisdictions were looking at this. It did work in America sensationally well. Whether it works as well in Australia, only time will tell. But, gee, it's worth a shot.
You know what they say, mate? 100% of shots not attempted don't
Correct.
Go in.
I 100% agree. Hey, Jimmy, Randwick yesterday, gee, it was hot and steamy.
Let me guess, you were the only person that had the tie on?
No. Most of the boys stuck it out.
Oh, well, good on them.
Did well, you know, sweating profusely. But we saw some really good horses. And I'm really impressed with this two-year-old. Godolphin have got, John O'Shea's got such a...
Didn't make the top five.
Oh, I'll forget that article.
Okay.
I think this is a really nice horse. And I know he's not running time, Jim, but he just finds ways to win. And the best part of his race is at the last 100 metres. Veronillo in the Lonro plate.
After Veronillo being quietly ridden around the corner, then came Lights from Cuba pulling out. Exceeds is being rustled along, looking for room now. Looks as though she'll come to the outside. She is, and Ace High is being hard pushed to the rear. Eden Rocks being nursed up the rise. Berry goes for an hour as Cuba quickly pounces. Veronillo between them, and Lights coming off heels. Exceeds a couple behind. Cuba just in front, but Veronillo quickly beat it off with Exceeds late the outside, but Veronillo, the afterburners have kicked in, and Veronillo draws clear. Exceeds got up to run second. Eden Rock third. He tried to kid to it.
So yeah, there's another one for the Blue Army. Nice Jordan horse. Trekking in Veronillo, all at $15.
All for John O'Shea.
John O'Shea and Godolphin at the tab market. And of course at the top, Hootson at $8. And She Will Reign. I see Gary Portelli's going to give her a trial.
Monday, yeah. Might even ride her off the speed, just see if
They're both $8.
Yep. Veronillo just reminds me a little bit of Vancouver, Jim. He's not the flashiest horse, not the fastest two-year-old probably in training, but he got the ability to absorb pressure, which is so important in a Golden Slipper.
And the other thing too, of course, their name starts with V.
Correct, and they're both by Medaglia d'Oro.
There you go.
Another very nice horse stepped out in race four. I know it was a benchmark sprint race, and it's got a long way to go, but this is a talent, Del Cielo.
GNC at the 400, being pressured here by Heart Tester, then Straturbo from His Majesty looking for the runner. A couple after Del Cielo and Den Magic trying to go with it. Bullpit's getting a splitter. Heart Tester can't shake off a GNC. Now Del Cielo's winding up on the outside. Straturbo the centre and then Den Magic. It's Del Cielo racing to the lead from Den Magic. Del Cielo pushed on, and Del Cielo brings its great New Zealand form as a juvenile to Australia now. That's back-to-back wins beating Den Magic. Pick got home well, so did Run Zadia.
Okay, so the question mark is this horse championship quality. Chris Lee's backed away from it, said, well, you can only beat what you, what's in front
of
you.
In perspective, I think a race like the Galaxy's up his alley, Jim.
Okay.
And Chris did say yesterday, Chris Lee's, that he's certain the horse is essentially a sprinter.
Right.
And whilst he's performing so well over the short courses, why muck it up? The horse is absolutely flying. We'll talk to Glenn Schofield about Del Cielo a little later, but I know he impressed Glenn, and Glenn knows what it takes to be a good horse. Man from Uncle, love the name, Jim.
Were you a fan of the TV show? Do you remember?
I remember it, yeah. Robert Vaughan, I think, was the star.
I don't know. I don't remember. I know the name, but
Robert
I don't
Vaughan?
Remember the show
is
at all.
Is that right?
They used to call Andrew Walker. He played footy. He was Unc.
He was
the man from Uncle.
Really?
Because he was the 13th of 13 children.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah,
there you go.
Yeah.
I'll have to Google this, see if I was right. Eskimo Prince Stakes generally throws a good horses. This is a quality field of a small but select field of three-year-olds. The form will stand up. Anthony Cummings has a rising star in Man from Uncle.
Coming through the deepest, and Bazella's hugging the rails as they straighten up now. Spending the Wind being nursed up the rise. So's Guard of Honour. Brianish being shoved along. Further back to Generalissimo, Man from Uncle, and coming through right to the outside. Bazell's not in the harder. Guard of Honour's going up to join Spending the Wind. Then Man from Uncle, Generalissimo, coming through late, but Guard of Honour still in front. 50 out. Guard of Honour. Man from Uncle, the outside, makes a last dive and got up. Man from Uncle. Man from Uncle got up to beat Guard of Honour and Generalissimo.
Usually I go to the TAB website and we look at what some of the prices coming up. Right now I'm at IMDb, which is Internet Movie Database. The man from... It's actually UNCLE, so
that's
it's an acronym.
Mm.
It's the United Network Command for Law and Enforcement. And you're quite right, Raymond. Robert Vaughan was there. So
he passed away late last year too, I think, Robert Vaughan, by memory now. So
okay, well,
anyway, but more importantly, Jim, back on track here. Man from Uncle, the racehorse, will go to the Hobartville Stakes next. Really promising three-year-old. Anthony Cummings looking towards the Group 1 Randwick Guineas with him.
Died November 11, 2016, aged 83, in Ridgefield, Connecticut. Born in November 1932 in New York City, New York.
There you go, Robert Vaughan.
Yeah.
Back on track here, Jim. We'll get back. The Breeders' Classic, Group 2 race for the mares.
A little bit of Bill Collins in all of us,
isn't
there?
Yeah, there is, yeah. This is a really good story. Benjamin Smith, a lot of the horsemen, trainers and jockeys speak very highly of his ability with the horse. A young bloke on the rise for the training ranks. Hasn't got a big team, but he's done great jobs with great
how many,
job.
How
with
many horses?
Only
in
eight
stable.
Horses
eight
in work.
In the stable.
She's done a great job within her time. Who scored her fourth win from nine starts yesterday. Andrew Adkins, currently leading the Sydney Apprentices Premiership. He's going great guns. Both men combined with their first stakes winner. Within her time.
It's Magna Joy, In Her Time. The two lightweights turn together, and In Her Time just shades Magna Joy now, followed by Flippant. Then came Iron's a Lady, Egyptian Symbols looking to thread into the clear. French Emotion wider out, and Danish Twist for the last shot at them. In Her Time, the leader, but Egyptian Symbol comes off the fence to challenge. Egyptian Symbol goes after In Her Time. In Her Time's kicking on the inside. Andrew Atkins lifts her across the post. In Her Time beats Egyptian Symbol. I think Flippin' third in front of Danish Twist.
Okay, so David McCallum was the other guy to start in the bed from Uncle.
Got to get back on track.
Hang on, you forced me into that. Oh. I don't know whether he started in Voyage to the
Bottom, of the,
bottom of the Sea. Yeah. No, but he was definitely in The Great Escape.
This is more important, Jim. In Her Time.
Right, In Her
promising
Time.
Promising horse.
Yeah.
Promising mare. Potentially, I asked Ben Smith whether he thinks about the Coolmore Classic, and he thinks 1,500 is a fraction too far.
Just an out-and-out sprinter again.
Yeah, he may go for a month between runs, look at a race like Winona Girl Quality, but there's plenty of good stakes races for mares coming forward that'll suit her in over the carnival.
Speaking to Benjamin Smith later in the program, speaking to Andrew Adkins a little bit later on in the program as well.
Had to throw Deploy in, Jim, because four starts this prep, four wins, all in the city. Very, very rare to do. He's racing his way through the greys. Gerald Ryan's just got this horse absolutely flying. Jamie Innes Jr. rides it particularly well. I thought the 1,400 might test him. He was just too good again.
Navo's not going well. Four back towards Nikitas. Wareshaw still back last. Up the rise now. The Deploy takes the lead from God Under's Tower of Song. Veladero disgraceful down the outside. It's Deploy in front of Furlong out. A length clear from God Under's and Tower of Song. Oh, both honing in on the leader. It's Deploy in front from God Under's, who's brave. Deploy looking for four in a row. He's brave, and Innes gets it home again. Deploy up on the speed. Beat God Under's. Tower of Song third. Veladero fourth.
So where now for Deploy?
Probably Gerald could... probably pick out another benchmark race, I guess, but he's making a compelling case to have a crack at stakes level, isn't he, Jim?
Yeah.
Four from four. He can stretch that Breen's to 1,400. He was very tough yesterday. He carries weights.
How long's his prep been?
Four starts. Started over summer, so he hasn't been an extended prep yet.
Mm.
He's going great guns, and maybe he deserves a chance at stakes level sooner rather than later. He's an ideal racehorse, Jim. Jumps quickly, puts himself in position, fights very hard. At Caulfield yesterday, one of the real legends of Australian racing, Darren Gauchi.
Underappreciated, do you think?
Probably not by people in the industry.
Right.
There's very few jockeys who look as well-balanced in the saddle as Darren Gauchi.
And isn't the timing, he knows how to time a race?
If I can use the word pretty, he is a beautiful jockey, jockey to watch.
Right.
Always has been. He was an extraordinary talent as an apprentice.
Yeah.
He actually got school kids flocking to races midweek.
Yeah, I know, you tell the story.
Schoolgirls lining up just to watch him ride in the last couple of races after school. Been a phenomenal talent over many, many years. He's decided to retire from race riding, become a mentor of Victorian apprentices from Monday. But the Gouch, in his own indomitable style, found the perfect way to retire yesterday at Caulfield with a win on Goodwill.
Gauchi pushing and urging on Goodwill. He's still there on the outside. Cadillac Mountain waiting in behind those horses then. Coming around the outside now pays to France, and Hursley needs to get a wriggle on into the straight now, and Goodwill put his nose in front. It's Goodwill narrowly with Sir Prospector down the outside as pays to France. Dodging Bullets is coming back. Cadillac Mountain getting up on the inside. Anything can win this. Still Goodwill giving a little bit of something in the middle. Pays to France coming at him. Cadillac Mountain, they hit the line. Gauchi's got it. Goodwill's got there. Good on you, Gouch. In a driving finish, I think he'll get it from either Post to France, Dodging Bullets, or on the inside, Cadillac Mountain.
And all the jockeys came out into the winner's circle and greeted him.
Very popular man.
Yeah.
Popular man, and had a great career. Probably his biggest wins, Jim, the Doncaster in 2000 on Over, when he wore down the Great Sunline in an epic contest. And he rode Lonro in the 2001 Caulfield Guineas. And I'll never forget Des Gleeson walking up to me after the race in the mounting yard and said, "That Sydney horse is a champion." And no one really realised at the time. And it was a phenomenal performance, last to first, down the outside under the Gouch.
Yeah, there you go. Congratulations. I wish you took a bit of time off, jumping into something straight away.
He probably loves to work.
Does he?
Yeah, loves to ride track work.
I know another bloke like that. Loves to work.
Jimmy Smith.
No, Ray Thomas. 1353-53, the open line number. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back and have a chat with Benjamin Smith. Had a winner yesterday. First stakes win in the city with In Her Time. But this comes in from Eagle-Eyed Phil. Good morning, Jimmy and Ray. Can you imagine what Black Caviar would be saying about Everest if she could speak? It would be like listening to an aggressive batsman from the 90s and early 2000s talking about missing out on the playing T20 cricket.
Good point.
Understand your point there, Eagle-Eyed Phil.
This truly magical thoroughbred able friend going to win the Champions Bowl in an absolute hand canter. That's the world's best.
Hong Kong, Singapore, Japan, Korea.
The best of Asian racing.
Live and exclusive to Sky Racing.
Here's your chance to enjoy a night at the races.
In the company of a host of sporting stars. Susie Moroney, Teresa Palias, Molly Gray, sporting sisters Abby and Carly McCulloch are just some of the special guests attending this fabulous Women in Sport function. Hosted by our very own Jamie Rogers. Speakers, fashions, lucky prizes, three-course dinner, drinks and more from 6 p.m. Friday, February 17 at Canterbury Racecourse. Get a group together and book now at heartbeaterfootball.com.au.
Lano, what are you doing?
Mum, I'm putting the aircon on.
Which one?
Mitsubishi, LG, Panasonic, Fujitsu.
All of them?
It's a big store. At Bingley, we've got all the latest air conditioners. So come in before it gets any hotter. Outside. I'm Lionel Lee.
Ooh, I'm Yandali. Come and meet our team.
The Big Sports Breakfast Weekend is brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the number one BT50 dealer in New South Wales. Mongoa Road, Penrith.
And welcome back to the show. And I reckon this man will not forget yesterday.
He might have.
Long... No, he won't. You don't forget your first group win. Your first stakes win.
With a night out.
I hope he did have a night out and enjoy it. Ben Smith's been good enough to join us. Ben, good morning. Congratulations for the win In Her Time yesterday. And well, did you get a chance to celebrate last night?
Good morning, Ray. Yeah, we did have a couple of drinks last night, so...
Oh, well-deserved.
Apologise if I'm a little bit rusty this morning.
No, well-deserved. Congratulations. It was a popular win yesterday, mate, but she had to do it tough, didn't she, Ben?
Yeah, she didn't get any favours, but it doesn't seem to worry her. If she's got a bit of room and she races wide or has clear running... you know, she can deliver her best. I think she likes that way of racing rather than racing tight. So,
yeah.
Although it looks like she does it tough, she probably does it. She doesn't do it as tough as what it looks.
Yeah, right. Because it looked there, she was three wide, and you thought, oh, well, she's going to do it tough from there. But as you say, gets a bit of free running, and I think you instructed Andrew in that manner as well. Don't be too concerned if you have to give her a bit of room.
Yeah, I like to talk to, like, not just her, but most of my jockeys, if they're travelling well and they're under a good hold, I don't mind if they're three wide and travelling, just leave them there and let them be comfortable and, they'll finish off the race for them.
Hey, Ben, an historic moment for any train to win their first group race, but... Did you actually watch the finish? Because you told us yesterday you turned away when Egyptian Symbol peeled off your back and looked set to go straight past In a time. Did you actually see the finish, mate?
Nah, I didn't really see the finish. I just heard a bit of cheering and I could hear the owners cheering. So I was I just let them watch the finish for me.
Where'd you get it from? She's been so good for the stable, obviously your stable star. How'd she come about to be in the yard?
Peter Brown, who bred her, he's been in Newcastle for a while. And he's bred a couple of horses and had them with Chris Lees. And we've just got along and he offered me her. He said he had a horse for lease and asked if I could get some people to go on the lease. And we got shares leased in it pretty quickly.
Hey Ben, I know I asked you yesterday, and it's always difficult to answer straight after a race, but she's won a Group 2, she's 3 from 3 this prep, she's absolutely flying. Would you be tempted with a Coolmore, or are you happy just to stick to the sprint-type preparation for her?
I think I'll stick with the sprint races. this time in. Look, she probably just needs to be a little bit more race savvy and and just learn to relax a bit more early in the races. But I definitely think at some stage she'll get sort of, you know, 1400, 1500. But you know, well, and especially while she's racing so well over sprinting distances, I think we'll just keep it at that for the for this preparation anyway.
Ben, besides the hangover this morning, what else does the win mean for the stable? Have you fielded any calls from interested owners?
No, they've all been good. I think they had a good night last night too, but we just come back from Newcastle and the staff, and we all just went out and had a couple of quiet drinks, and that was about it for us. It wasn't a huge night, but it was definitely one to celebrate, and you know, it was great to be with the staff there and take them out and have a drink with them. So.
We'll put the spring in everyone's step from now on, Ben. Yeah. Fantastic to see. Yes, it was really popular. I was telling Jimmy that it was very popular amongst the jockeys and other trainers. They're all very happy for you. And I know you have eight in work, but we're tipping that there's no better advertising than a Group 2 win.
Yeah.
So let's hope there's some more horses coming your way. And we'd love to have you on again over the carnival. Thanks for your time, Ben.
Yeah, no, not a problem. Anytime.
Congratulations too, mate.
There he is, Ben
Thanks
Smith.
Thanks very much.
Ben Smith, three wins on the trot, two
really
for in a
story,
time.
Yeah,
and as you mate mentioned, Group 2, and paid near enough to $16 too. Yeah. You just wonder whether the stable had a little bit of that. You would have liked to have thought so as well. 1353 is the open line number. Morning, Jimmy and Ray. Sportsman who hung on too long. We will find out this year with Benji Marshall.
Wow, good point. Yeah.
Caller that hangs on too long, Adrian. Just hang up, Adrian. That's Brett from Broadbeach. It's a really good point about Benji Marshall. Cause, you know, the nines, you would think, well, that suits Benji, right?
Correct.
There was a time there yesterday, you're watching him in the Broncos game, and I'm trying to think
how
they played. And
was he sharp?
No, because there was a time there where he went, right, now, bang, go.
Couldn't do it.
And it wasn't quite there.
Interesting you say that, Jim, because our theme about sportsmen hung on too long.
Mm.
And your point about you don't lose your power, but you lose that little bit of speed.
Yep.
Almost sacrilegious. It's like mentioning Graham Langlands. I hate saying this, but Tony Lockett had that season off and he came back.
Yeah, he did.
One of the all-time greats, probably the best full forward of all time, arguably.
And everyone underestimated how quick he was.
Correct. And for a big man, he had tremendous speed off the mark.
Yeah.
10, 15 metres he was bringing, could get himself in position. Just lost it. Even though it's a great mark, he couldn't get that little edge, and he just wasn't quite that. He looked physically very, very fit.
You tell him.
Oh, no, I don't tell him. I hope he's not listening to this.
He's a massive...
But then that doesn't
still train the dogs?
He's still
training the greyhounds? Yes. Yeah. He's down in Barrow, down the Southern Highlands, isn't he?
Wish he was a legend.
He's almost a recluse, from what I understand. Very hard to get hold of.
He is.
Very undercover. Even when he was playing, he didn't want to do anything. He just wanted to play his footy and that's it.
He got inducted into the Hall of Fame, the AFL, a couple of years ago, and he made an appearance, and it shocked a lot of people. He actually turned up. He was very humble with his speech, and it was a great player to watch.
Oh, man.
But love to have him on the show one day.
Yeah, 1353-53, the open line number. Here's Eagle Eyed Phil getting involved again. Morning, Jimmy and Ray. Would you say Ian Botham hung on too long? Stats certainly declined. Well, I actually had the great pleasure of interviewing Ian Botham for a primary club function on one occasion. So I went through and looked at his career pretty closely, and he started with a bang, and it's amazing the fifers and the hundreds that he scored early in his career and then the gaps that happened later in his career.
Okay.
And it was talking to Kerry O'Keefe about Ian Botham. He played at Somerset when a young Ian Botham was there, you know, 16, 17 years of age. And he said the spring and the athleticism that he had was just incredible. You know, just running through the bowling crease and bang, that's where he gets his movement. And
for a sportsman at that very elite level, it must be so difficult to know when the time is right, because you'd always want to... You had that self-belief, wouldn't you? You always want to back yourself that you can do it. So
well, he
knowing
nearly did,
the time
remember?
Is right to retire must be one of the toughest calls I'd have to make as a sports person.
He nearly did with the 1992 Cricket World Cup,
correct.
Remember?
Yes.
He was then fashioned himself as an opener for England, and they were beaten by a star-studded Pakistan team in that final down at the MCG. Funny you mentioned that, the elite sports person. This is a side story, but a good mate of mine, you know him, Justin Dooley.
I was
talking to a mate of his who's played fourth grade cricket for pretty much his whole career, right? And Justin, of course, like played 13 or 14 years at the elite level in rugby league. And this fourth grade cricketer came and spoke to him and he said, "Oh, Dools, I'm thinking about giving it away. How do you know? When do you know?"
If you haven't got above fourth grade, you probably know.
Could have told you 4 years ago. 1353 53, the open line number. We're going to take some call here. Mick's on the line. G'day, Mick.
How are you, Jimmy? How are you, Ray?
Good morning, Mick.
Thanks very much. Thanks for the diary and all that.
Oh, good on you, mate. That's the way.
What I rang you for is Wally Lewis. He hung on too long.
The great Wally Lewis.
And another great, who was a great and carried on too long, was Johnny Raper when he went to Newcastle.
Before my time, but I'll cop the tip.
He played a year in Newcastle, did he?
Yeah, he finished up at Kerikeri, remember?
Okay.
Kerikeri Bulldogs.
He just kept playing for the love of it, Nick, did he?
Yeah, he went and played up there, and Wally Lewis's back was absolutely buggered at the time when he went to the Crushers, and as he said, he was just out of playing for, I don't know, he's trying to prove a point, I suppose. He had carrying injuries when he went there.
When he went to the Gold Coast,
His back was buggered.
Yeah.
But, Wally Lewis and Johnny Raper. Johnny Raper especially, because he had such a great career.
Absolutely.
My dad always said the greatest player ever.
Johnny Raper? Yeah. There you go. And yet you see other people who say, no, Reg Gasney. Yeah, Reg Gasney.
Exactly.
So it's a good point. Wally Lewis, when he was coach there at the Gold Coast, he used to time it. There was the great Chinese restaurant over in Seagulls Leagues Club. He'd ring up 15 minutes before the end of the train. He was coach. He'd ring up just so he'd get his order
in. Food ready to
so
go.
They'd be ready to go. That's what they say.
When you're Wally Lewis, you can do
that. That's
those
what
things.
They say. He is the king for a reason. Glenn Schofield, Andrew Atkins, Anthony Cummings, and Andy Pascaletti is all coming up next hour.
I'm Sarah Wombe. The campaign against the federal government's planned gay marriage plebiscite is ramping up. A group of Liberal Party MPs in support of same-sex marriage are leading a push for the government to ditch its plebiscite policy in favour of a free vote in Parliament. Marriage equality campaigner Rodney Croom has welcomed the news. He's told Macquarie the plebiscite was never in the public's best interest.
A plebiscite was always a bad idea. It was going to be very expensive, very divisive, and it was completely unnecessary because we know that there's a majority of MPs who already support this reform. It could pass tomorrow if there was a free vote across the parties.
Cancer Council Queensland has called on the state government to ban smoking in more places, saying it has the support of the population. The Everyday Health Survey on Tobacco released on World Cancer Day yesterday showed more than half of Queenslanders supported banning people born after 2001 from buying or smoking the drug. An overwhelming 85% of the 736 people surveyed wanted the legal age of those able to sell tobacco increased to over 18. A body believed to be of murdered man Bradley Bruard has been found by police divers in Tasmania. The man's body was found at Lake Eugenana on Friday night and it's believed to be that of Mr. Bruard, who police allege was punched, kicked and suffocated with a plastic bag at a house in Newham on New Year's Day. Police say his body was then moved by the offenders and evidence dumped at another location. A 25-year-old South Launceston man and a 41-year-old West Launceston man were charged with murder on Friday and have been remanded to reappear at Launceston Magistrates Court tomorrow. The pair were arrested and charged just hours before the body was located. A 14-year-old girl who sustained serious injuries in a boating accident off South Australia's York Peninsula last week has died in hospital. The girl was injured when she hit her head on a beacon when she fell from an inflatable boat which was being towed by a motorboat at Port Broughton. She was airlifted to the Adelaide Women and Children's Hospital after the accident but died last night. Overseas, President Trump is questioning the qualifications of the judge in Seattle who has, at least temporarily, banned the White House ban on immigration. On Twitter, the president turned on Judge James Robart and says his decision will be overturned. Our Washington correspondent Simon Marks reports.
Hour by hour, this crisis intensifies, with the president now mocking the judge in Seattle who blocked the travel ban. This so-called judge, the president wrote on Twitter, is taking law enforcement away from the country. He said the ruling is ridiculous and will be overturned. But the president can't know that because the judiciary is independent. And with airlines now bringing previously banned travelers to the US, another weekend of chaos looms.
And in France, the Louvre Museum has reopened to the public less than 24 hours after a machete-wielding assailant was shot by soldiers. This is Air News. There was plenty of late action in a heated Melbourne A-League derby, as Air Sports' Graham Davis reports.
Victory snatched a 2-1 win in a game that took 62 minutes to come to life when Berisha missed a penalty after Rojas was pulled down. 8 minutes later and City took the lead when Kilkenny's shot was deflected in past Lawrence. Berisha then made amends in the 84th minute by slotting home Rojas's cross. Then just 2 minutes later, Victory controversially led when Muscat put the ball in his own net. But tempers flared as Berisha had been standing in an offside position and Cahill, who was waiting to come on as a substitute, was shown a red card. Graham Davis in Melbourne for Air Sports.
Four-time Olympian David Anderson has starred in his return from an eight-week injury layoff, leading Melbourne United in their 89-76 defeat of the Sydney Kings. Anderson scored 16 of his game-high 21 points in the second half last night and was instrumental in keeping Sydney at arm's length when the game was on the line. Melbourne's 12th win kept their season alive with three games remaining, while the Kings face a daunting must-win game against title holders Perth in next weekend's final round. In the other game, Adelaide beat New Zealand 88-87. And Parramatta has a big chance to atone for being stripped of last year's Auckland Nines title when they head into the tournament's second day. The Eels were the form side of Saturday's opening day, scoring big wins over St George Illawarra and the Warriors in their pool matches. Australian Independent Radio News.
It's yearling sale time and Dynamic Syndications will be active again at all major sales. As primary syndicator for the Gay Waterhouse and Adrian Bott Stables, we invite you to join us in 2017 as together we aim at massive prize money. Our family-operated business has been involved with 13 Group 1 wins, including the Cox Plate, Golden Slipper, Caulfield and Rosehill Guineas, Blue Diamond and many more. For info, visit dynamicsyndications.com, follow us on social media or call 1-800-619-999. AFSL 33-6808.
You can't help but love the Super Bowl, and this year we've designed plenty of winning plays. Right now, we've got a stack of great odds available across a wide range of markets, including head-to-head, line, margin, and first score type. And to help you avoid any third and long situations, check out our expert analysis and tips online or on the Tab app. Get on the big game now on the Tab app, tab.com.au, or head into your local. Tab, we love a bet. Gamble responsibly.
Sky Sports Radio, Sydney weather.
Hot, as Jimmy so succinctly put a half hour ago. Very hot today, partly cloudy. There's a slight chance of a shower later in the afternoon, but bottom line is Sydney, we're heading for a very, very hot day of 38 degrees today. Take care in the sun, everybody. Jimmy, what about at Parramatta and out at Parks?
Yeah, get the air conditioners going too today because it's off peak. So you don't need to worry about it.
Fire them up.
Turn them up to, or turn it down to 17 or something like that.
We got our water bill on Friday. Tanny nearly had a heart attack.
That's their lawn, isn't it?
Yes, my lawn's nearly double.
That's their lawns.
Nearly double.
That's right. Yeah. And that's the other point too. Your long showers.
Oh, long shower. No, long probably showers. Three a day.
No,
three a day.
Your three showers a day, and your hair and shampoo and conditioner.
Okay.
Regimen that you go through.
Thanks for that.
27 degrees at Parramatta right now. That's not too bad, is it? That's a bit cooler than it was a little bit earlier. 27 degrees at Parramatta. You were talking about Parks out west. Ooh. The Spacemen, hot, possible afternoon storm, 41 degrees.
Lose the beer gut without losing all the beers. G'day, Adam McDougall here.
The Man Shave helped my dad lose weight and feel better. Now dad takes me to the park and we play footy.
Shake off those extra kilos today at themanshake.com.au.
Consult your GP before beginning any diet.
If you download a radio app, you could listen anywhere. Even at your cousin's wedding. I mean, you can catch the game right there.
At work, no one would notice that you're listening to that show until it makes you LOL and sing the hits you know. If you download a radio app, you could listen while in bed. You'd never hear another snore and drift off to jazz instead. So download it at the App Store or at Google Play, and 250 Aussie stations will be just one swipe away. Radio app, your radio, wherever you are.
Majestic, and the judgment of history will surely be that she was in a class of her own.
Here's the 0-1. This is going to be a tough play.
On Sky Sports Radio, welcome to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend. Brought to you by Penrith Mazda, Mulgoa Road, Penrith. Here's your hosts, Jimmy Smith and Ray Thomas.
Welcome back to the program. Yes, the weather reports are getting longer and longer, and as a result, there's less and less time for the actual program. Glenn Schofield, Andrew Adkins, Anthony Cummins, Andy Pascalides, Event Cinemas Quiz, and the scratchings around New South Wales all coming up this hour as well. So we need to get our skates on. Now, the other thing about it is, of course, we've got our sports people that hung on too long on the back of Tiger Woods, who's now had to withdraw from the Dubai Desert Classic. We think maybe he's hung on too long. This one comes in from John from Moorbank. Terry Lamb retired after captaining the Bulldogs in the 1995 Grand Final to defeat Manly 17-4, made the comeback in 96 in which the Dogs finished 6th in the Super League comp, and he handed over the captaincy to Simon Gillies. Maybe 1 year too long after an outstanding career. Cheers, John from Moorbank. Being hard on him because he was asked to come out of retirement after they lost those four players to Parramatta. Jason Smith, Jim Dimmick, Dean Pay.
And for Super League.
And so as a result, and Super League was 97 too, John.
Okay, good text though. And for our best caller or text message or contribution to the show this week, Jimmy, today's show, they'll get two entrance and members tickets to Randwick next week for a certain horse's return to racing.
I was going to say, well, that's a great prize, but then you realise who's coming back? Winks.
Winks.
It's an even better prize. Yes. So that is exciting. So that is a great prize up for grabs for the best contribution to the program in any way, shape or form.
Okay, yesterday, I did mention this horse earlier, Jim, Dal Ciello, and I was really interested to hear Glenn Schofield's remarks after the race, and Glenn's a very experienced jockey. He's ridden some great horses over the years, and he thinks his horse is on the rise. Glenn's been good enough to join us. Glenn, good morning, and some horses just look impressive, don't they, when they go about their business, and Dal Ciello just did it so easily yesterday, Glenn.
Yeah, morning, Ray, morning, Jimmy. He was impressive again yesterday, Look, it wasn't the highlight of his career yet, I don't think, but he's certainly getting along the path of finding a nice career highlight with another soft win.
Championship quality, Glenn?
Look, Jimmy's got a bit to go still before he sort of will get to that level. Look, his mannerisms, and he's a bit anxious and apprehensive before in all the prelims, but if he can sort that sort of issue out, I think he can go to the next level, yeah.
Glenn, what's his best distance? Because as a younger horse, he was tried at Group 1 level up to a mile, but since being with Chris Lees, Chris has deliberately kept the horse to short course events, and he's been dynamic.
He has been, for sure. Chris has obviously found what's suiting the horse. Yeah. I don't think an extra furlong will worry him at all. He doesn't necessarily feel like a mad dash horse, but he's certainly got a turn of speed off strong pace. He's got some options with the horse for sure.
You made an interesting point after the race. You think he's one of those horses that'll go better up in higher grades because they'll go a bit quicker. Could you explain that a little further?
Yeah, that's what I mentioned after. Look, he wants to travel quite keenly in the mid stages of a race. He doesn't begin that brilliantly, but when he needs a bit more speed on, just to sort of get into more of a comfort zone. Obviously in the lower grades, they don't go quite as quickly as they do in the top grades or the higher grades. So I think once he gets into better races where the tempo is that little bit stronger, it might allow him just to switch off and settle a touch better, allowing him to sort of quicken up when he needs to. So
even though
yesterday was a nice soft win, I think there was a little bit more to come as well.
Yeah, and the one thing he has got, Glenn, hasn't he, is that turn of foot. Gee, when he lets down, he can put pay to horses really quickly. Jimmy, I reckon Glenn's got a clock in his head, you know, because he was asked to go out and ride Prized Icon in an exhibition gallop between races and ask through the 800 in about 48 seconds. Well, Glenn, you got it perfect, 48.54, and he looked good, the colt, Prized Icon.
He did, yeah. His work was super. He's certainly come back a nice... A nice animal. He's obviously a multiple Group 1 winner, and he's a valuable commodity. But for me, just knowing the progression he's made, I think if you remember his last prep when he came back, he first couple of runs he overraced and he
pulled his head off.
Yeah. Yeah. And this time in at the beginning of his prep, he's so relaxed and confident in himself. Mm. That's more pleasing than not necessarily his work, but his mannerisms as well show for a colt that he's. He's got his mind switched onto the task, which is always important.
Man from Uncle, of course, was a winner for James's father, Anthony. We're going to speak to Anthony a little bit later, and they'll most likely meet in the Hobartville. Yes. So I know you were looking at that from behind, but how do you think they'll match up, Glenn?
Oh, look, they're obviously going to clash if they both go to the Hobartville.
Yeah.
Look, I don't think I'll be swapping my fella for another runner. Mm. At this stage, especially in light of what he showed me yesterday. But it's the beginning of his prep, and I don't suppose there are all that many expectations on him, you know, to perform it, you know, maybe and win it first up, because 7 furlongs is probably a bit short of his best, having won a derby now. But he'll certainly run well, and I wouldn't want to be jumping off him.
Just with Prize Icon then, Glenn, I know he has won that derby at Flemington over 2,500. He's also a Group 1 1,600-metre winner at Randwick. What do you think will be his optimum trip?
Well, he still does feel like he's got a bit of sharpness in him, even though he's a derby winner. And I think his derby showed that he does have a good turn of speed right at the end of a classic race. He sort of tore away from them, and it was effortless in the end. And I think if he carries that speed in, I don't think a mile or anything further up to that classic trip will be any problem for him, really.
The Proteas or the Springboks playing anywhere at the moment? You got anything that you want to get a little bit lippy about, Glenn, at all?
Well, there's a South African team going around at the Sevens tomorrow. I'm not really into that.
Only if they win, though.
Oh, you mentioned it straight away.
If they win, you'll hear about it. But not that I'm aware of. That I'm aware of. But look, always when they come to Australia and there's a bit of a game on. There's always a bit of a banter amongst all the boys. That's good fun. But not a good result for me last night. Liverpool getting beaten again by Hull City. I see you've got Andy on the show next. So
2-0.
I'm sure he'll
good.
Yeah, I've got a few mates on Twitter that keep rubbing the salt in. So
Glenn, the wheels have fallen off, haven't they, in the last month?
Yeah, they have. They need to go to UltraTune and get their wheels fixed.
Just to let you know, Sri Lanka scored 163, South Africa 3 for 164. That was last night. South Africa won by 7 wickets, 108 balls remaining. So there you go, Glenn. There you go. Absolutely. Fantastic. Well done yesterday. And as always, very good with your time early on a Sunday, Glenn. We appreciate it.
Thanks, fellas. No problem.
Thanks, Glenn.
Glenn Schofield there, jockey of Del Cielo. And a very good win there for Chris Lees and the stable. We'll take a break. We'll be back with more here. It's the Big Sports Breakfast. It's the weekend edition.
Sky Sports Radio has Greyhound Racing covered.
Shimabar moved up, struck the lead, coming away. Shimabar will win the fours.
Every Monday morning at 10:30, Going Greyhounds has the lowdown on feature racing, race club officials, and the all-important winners.
Going Greyhounds on your racing leader, Sky Sports Radio.
AstiVita.com.au. Up to 70% off products, including wall and freestanding ovens, appliance packages, cooktops, sinks, tapware, with a new black chrome finish out soon. Plus, they have vanities, toilet sweeps, basins, and freestanding and drop-in bars, and so much more. 2-year warranty over 50 service locations with free delivery to most areas. AstiVita.com.au. Up to 70% off. An Aussie company since 2007. That's AstiVita.com.au. We'll be right back.
The Big Sport Breakfast Weekend is brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the number one BT50 dealer in New South Wales. Mongoa Road, Penrith. I'll get on
my back. And welcome back to the show with Jimmy and Ray. We spoke to Ben Smith earlier, the trainer of In Her Time, and now I've been good enough to be joined by Andrew Adkins, a young apprentice who rode his first stakes winner on In Her Time yesterday. Significant day in any young jockey's career. Andrew, good morning. Congratulations first on the win, and she did it tough, but that's the way she goes about her business, Ben. Andrew, she just loves to win.
That's it. Good morning, guys. She's very gutsy and very tough, and she's got a bit of class about her, so... It was a pretty tough and gutsy win there yesterday, and like I said, it was a day you'll never forget. And for me and Ben, and it was very, very special. Mm.
Ben couldn't watch the final 200. I hope you had your eyes open, Andrew. Were you aware of Egyptian symbol peeling off the back and making the charge at you?
Look, I knew there was always going to be Egyptian symbol coming late.
Yeah.
But I knew when they did get to her, she'd be tough, and like she did it at Canterbury the other night, and she's a tough horse, and when they did come to her, she did kick away again. So, no, it was, very tough, and she's got a big heart about her. So she's obviously got a bright future ahead of her, and she's done well for the time being. So I'm pretty excited to see her times ahead.
And, Andrew, for a young apprentice to win his first stakes race on the eve of the Autumn Carnival, the timing is perfect because, obviously, during the carnival periods, it's harder for apprentices to get rides, but you've proved yourself capable of mixing it at that elite level now.
Exactly right, and it's obviously going to be a big bonus in my basket, I hope, and hopefully I can get some support off some nice trainers and horses and owners, and hopefully have a nice autumn. As you said, it is a perfect time going forward, and with the autumn around the corner, hopefully she wraps it up for me and takes me places, that was perfect timing.
What do you do to capitalise on that then? Obviously, the wins are one thing. Riding track work's another one. Do you have yourself a manager? Do you keep putting your name out there, Andrew?
Yeah, of course. Obviously, I ride track work every single morning.
Yeah.
I work Sundays as well. So every second Sunday, I go into the boxes as well. And, my manager is my father. He does a great job, and, I wouldn't be here without him. So he's always there doing his best, I know that for sure. And it's just trying to get your name out there, and things like yesterday that happened like that, it's definitely a big career opener, and just shows that you can do it, whether you've got a claim or you don't have a claim. So hopefully it opens some doors and I can go forward with that.
Yeah, well, the way you're riding at the moment, Andrew, that's speaking volumes in itself. And locked in a terrific battle with Jamie Innes for the Sydney Apprentices Premiership at the moment. I think you're still one win in front after Jamie won the last on Deploy. Obvious question, but that must be an ambition of yours to try and secure that title this season?
Yeah, it definitely is. It is a little bit tight at the moment, but I think I am one in front now. And that's obviously the ideal goal for me to tackle that and try and go on with that and try and win that. So that's probably a big goal. It's, the goal from yesterday is keep moving forward and try and keep being successful. And that's what I do every day. And obviously you want to win them premierships because they're a big eye-opener as trainers and owners. And it helps you go forward, in your career. So it'd be good if I could tackle that as well, along this season, and hope for all the best.
How is it working with someone like Ronnie Quinton, who of course is a legendary jockey in his own right and has now become a mentor of a number of leading jockeys? I guess you're in many ways in the box seat, Andrew.
Yeah, well, that's right. You've always got that. If you ever want advice or to watch replays or do anything like that, you always got Ron there to his first there to do anything with you and watch anything or give you that advice, and he's such a class when it comes to that, and it's definitely a big help.
And Andrew, I know I'm loath to go down this road, but it would be a tough period with Ron at the moment after losing his lovely wife Margaret 3 weeks ago. It'd be tough for you too, because I know how close you were to Margaret, but one thing about Ron is his professionalism, and he just goes about his business and gets the job done. I guess if everyone racing had Ron's professionalism and work ethic, it'd carry him a long way.
Yeah, exactly right. And that's the main thing you teaches me and his other apprentices is, you know, you're there to work, and the harder you work, you know, the more successful you are. And it has been a bit tough lately.
Yeah.
Like Ron and I and all the other staff and friends and family are just, you know, we've just got to keep moving forward and keep working hard. And Margaret's always, we're always doing Margaret proud, and I know she's watching all the time. So that's all we can do is keep working hard. And like you said, Ron's professionalism is a big big goal and towards me, and you know, something you look onto and take that advice on.
Yeah, well said, Andrew. Again, congratulations for yesterday. It was a fantastic moment in racing to see both yourself and Ben win their first group race. I'm sure it'll be the first of many, Andrew, and a best of luck for the rest of the season.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, obviously it is. Just say a big thank you to obviously Ben and his owners for sticking by me. You know, to
absolutely, yeah,
to put me on in the group races and you know, have that trust and faith in me, and was able to pull it off for them. So big thank you to them, obviously, and everyone else around. So
terrific.
Thank you.
Well said, Andrew. All round, Andrew. Congratulations on the win yesterday, and congratulations on the way you've displayed yourself this morning. It's been excellent. Good luck for the future.
Thanks very much, guys. Much appreciated.
Thanks, Andrew.
Andrew Adkins there, winner. Well, there's a highly impressive young man. We'll have him on again, Raymond, I hope.
Well, he's a very talented young rider, and he is going places.
And Margaret would be proud, Andrew.
Absolutely.
Margaret would be proud. Well done.
The Big Sports Breakfast Weekend is brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the number one BT50 dealer in New South Wales. Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
I tell you, it was also good yesterday, Jim. It was good to see this man back in the winner's circle, because you know it's carnival time just around the corner. He's got an uncanny ability to find, well, I described him this morning as unheralded three-year-old, but for Anthony Cummings, he knows how good Man from Uncle is, and he wasn't surprised by yesterday's win in the Eskimo Prince. Anthony, good morning. Well, looks like you've done it again, mate. Looks like you've found a three-year-old who could go right on to Group 1 level.
Yeah, I think so. You know, he's always shown a fair bit. You know, it's taking his time to develop and furnish and get like a true sense of what he's supposed to do. And it was great to see him sort of put all that together yesterday and been able to do sense, which is probably, I think, at his best, a bit short for him.
Yeah, okay. Well, the thing about that is you need patient owners too, don't you, Anthony, when they're a horse that's taking their time?
Yeah, well, you know, the guys in Matt and Munger have been with me for a while. I mean, they sort of came through, living in Replicator, Sedaria, Tarantaba, a few others on the way, so they've had, you know, plenty of, you know, group racing days, and I mean, you know, you never get used to it. It's always exciting, but you know, they've reaped the benefit of patience along the way.
Exactly. Yeah, Anthony, you were saying yesterday that only had one previous preparation, three runs last spring, but the trip away to Flemington. We often hear trainers talk about that interstate trip, bringing a horse on, etc. In layman's terms, what does it do for a horse, and what sort of improvement can they make?
Well, it just, you know, they're really just kids growing up. And, you know, you send them away, they're away from home, and it's different sights and smells. And, you know, the level of trust that they need to develop in the people around them, it just grows. It has to. And, you know, he got to Flemington, and it was a whole new experience again with the crowd and the noise and the whole thing. And, you know, in that race that he had there, he sort of lost his way. He sort of lost focus, and, you know, at one stage he didn't look like he was going to be in the finish, and the eventual, when it came up on his inside, and the horse went second, came to his outside, and he sort of refocused and went to the line with them. But that sort of lack of experience and, you know, the lack of attention to what he was supposed to be about sort of cost him that day. But, you know, today, or yesterday rather, you know, we reaped the benefit of having had that experience, and just going there and going about his work and being very professional now.
And racecraft was another thing that you mentioned as well. Give us an understanding around that.
Well, it is about those sorts of things. You know, it's about not overreacting to the horses around you, about sort of waiting for the jockey and for his urgings to sort of to go forward or to steady or whatever, and doing it in a way that's constructive to a better finish. So, you know, the horses that get there want to overrace, or they don't pick up and take the gap, or, you know, they overreact, or, you know, take sight of the grandstand or listen to the noise of the crowd, those sorts of things. I mean, all those things take away from their winning prospects. So, you know, racecraft is about having all of that stuff under control and responding to the rider and giving yourself the best chance of winning.
Yeah, Anthony, yesterday the winning rider, Jason Collett, spoke about the horse's long, lovely loping stride. I know it was a 1,400-metre sprint yesterday, but that's almost a bonus because he looks every inch a stayer.
He runs a mile and a quarter.
1,200, yeah, sorry.
Yeah, it was 1,200 yesterday. But the, to see him come around the bend at the speed they were travelling with his head bowed and just sort of at a nice sort of rhythm, at that point I thought he was going to win. Mm. The other sort of kicked a bit halfway down the straight and made him work a bit harder, but nevertheless he got there. So, that really is going to hold him in very good stead in some good races going forward.
Anthony, we just had Glenn Schofield on. He said prized icon's a certainty next 2 weeks' time in the Hobart building. So when does that start revving up between you and James?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not sure if I'll be safe to go to dinner there. That the soup could have a funny taste.
You need to be careful. Well, you'd be confident, though. Glenn's talked about how well prized icon ran yesterday, but of course it is first up going into that race.
Yeah, and the horse typically has taken a couple of runs to get to his right form, but yeah. He's also now a bit like Man from Uncle. He's had that trip away. He's more seasoned. I was pretty impressed with his trial horse the other day. I didn't actually see the gallop yesterday, but I think, to my eye, the horse has come out really well. He's going to be more effective sooner in the preparation, it would seem to me, the way he trialled at Hawkesbury.
And just finally, Anthony, you scratched top of my list yesterday. Really nice high chaparral mare. What are your plans for her going forward?
Yeah, she goes to Wednesday and we'll race there. And she's in pretty good form. We're lucky, I thought, first up. Probably should have taken the option to go forward, but at the end of the day, in terms of building a run to build the preparation, she had certainly had one of those. She's got some nice races. She's just going to hold together and keep improving. Once again, a little bit of racecraft for her to come, but a highly promising filly. And a race like the Coolmore, I'm hoping would be. She's got to do enough first to get in, and then I think once she does that, she'll be good enough to be competitive there. Yep.
Timing is all important, and the great ones have it, Anthony. Good to see that the man from Uncle has timed his run leading into the championships as well. Well done on the win yesterday, and thanks for joining us this morning.
Okay, good on you. Thank you.
Anthony Cummings here with Man from Uncle is the winner yesterday, and that will be interesting, isn't it, going up in 2 weeks' time in the Hobartville up against Prized Icon, trained, of course, by Anthony's son, James Cummings. 1353-53 is the open line number. We're going to take a break here on the Big Sports Breakfast weekend. After the break, we're going to speak to Andy Paskalidis and tell us what's happening at Liverpool.
Free zone.
You're
right. Liverpool free
chicken
zone.
Chicken chips and some curry sauce.
All grounds, all beaten. Franco won the Champions Stakes and lived up to the fight.
International racing at its very best. 7 days a week across the Sky Racing Network.
Mum, remember maths wasn't my best subject at school.
Nothing was.
Yeah, let's stick with maths. It seems someone's over-ordered notebooks and tablets and lots more from brands like Apple, Samsung, Asus, Logitech and Microsoft.
I know.
How do you know?
I'm your mother. What are you going to do?
Back to school specials.
Lanos back to school specials? I like it.
That sounds like I'm going back to school.
Well, you need to.
Bingley's back to school, uni and work specials.
The Sydney Carnival, writing Australian racing history for over 150 years. With time-honoured classics, the Longines Golden Slipper Carnival, Australia's biggest day of Group 1 racing at Rosehill Gardens, and the grand finals of Australian racing, the championships at Royal Randwick. Buy your tickets today. Visit www.theatc.com.au. The Sydney Carnival. The tradition continues.
G'day, Glenn McGrath here from the McGrath Foundation. Want to bring the magic of the Pink Test to your own community this summer? Host a Pink Stubbs Day with your club, your school, or in your own backyard, and help raise funds for McGrath breast cancer in communities across Australia. You can have fun while helping make life a little bit easier for families going through breast cancer. Find out how at pinkstumpsday.com.au. Together, we can make a difference.
The Big Sports Breakfast Weekend is brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the number one VT50 dealer in New South Wales. Mongoa Road, Penrith.
Welcome back to the program. Andy Paskalidis up right now. Can't wait to talk about Liverpool, to be honest. But anyway, we'll get
Liverpool
to that very
free zone.
No, it's not going to be a Liverpool free zone. But I want to make mention of this, Andy Pascalidis. I watched with great interest the Asian Cup in 2015, and I saw a guy play, and I don't know football very well. I haven't played it, and I haven't watched a whole heap of it. But I thought Trent Sainsbury, wow, he just unlocks defences coming from the back. You know, he can really start great attacking plays. This is so exciting for him at Inter Milan. Good morning, mate.
Yeah, good morning, guys. One of the best moves in recent times. And you're right, you know, he's been one of the form players. I know the media in Italy has been a bit, undecided in a sense. They're not too sure whether he'll have an impact. But at the end of the day, the club that he's come from, the Chinese owners also own Inter Milan. And he's been a consistent performer for both club and country. So,
oh, yeah.
I'm hoping he can get in the squad, but let's be honest, I don't think he'll do so, given he's just arrived. And there's a big game that they're playing tomorrow against Juventus away from home. So fourth place Inter Milan will play the top team Juventus, who are the benchmark in Serie A. But good luck to him. You know, yeah, he sets himself up for the future, but it takes his game to the next level, hopefully.
Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah. Hey, Andy, let's talk Melbourne Derby. This game had everything last night. Controversial goals, missed penalties, Timmy Cahill gets sent off from the sidelines, Berisha scores. It had everything, Andy.
And it still might have a bit more, guys.
Yeah, yeah, right.
When you think about it, I think the spray from Dean Bazanis at Berisha, he might be pulled up for that. Obviously, we don't know exactly what Tim said on the sideline to the assistant referee or the fourth official. The assistant referee certainly in the thick of it because of what happened prior to it. Nathan McDonald put his flag up. Musket goes for the ball. He's not to know that Berisha's in an offside position. If he doesn't challenge for the ball, then, you know, offside it would be. Berisha would have tapped it in an offside position and the goal stood. It's a harsh way for them to cop it. 5 minutes left in the big derby. But victory prevailed. That's a big, big result for them on the back of... you know, Sydney drawing in Brisbane, that was a thrilling 0-0 draw, wasn't it? But the gap is still, you know, 9 points. I still can't see Sydney dropping 3 games in the run home.
No. They'll get the toilet seat for sure. 3-1 Western Sydney. We're just talking about it in the break. Brendan Santelab, he's a goal sneak at the end. Just get him on. Give him game
time. He
scores
goals.
Yeah.
And that was the thing. I think we talked about it last week. The fact that we were surprised that Martinez and Santelab were on the bench, these are the guys that scored the goals.
And that's what they haven't been able to do, Western Sydney.
Yeah, and that gets to me. That's just their fourth win, but they've drawn 9, but it gets them into the 6. So they're on 21 points. One ahead of the Jets. The Jets lost in Perth. Perth were favoured in that game. Today will be interesting. I just noticed the market has just blown out a little bit on the Mariners, out to 375 from 340. And Adelaide have come in from 195 to 185. I'm still going to go for the Mariners. I just sense that this is their day. They snapped an 8-game winless run last time out. And at the moment, Adelaide have got a poor away record. They've only got 3 points in 8 away games, all of them draws, and they've only scored 4 goals on the road. So if Mariners strike early, I reckon they'll go in for the upset.
Okay, Mariners there for Andy. Hey, Andy, a lot of talk about a third Sydney franchise in the A-League. What are you hearing, Andy?
I'll probably hear a bit more today, Ray. I'm heading down to Wollongong for a special fundraiser for one of the great players, David Savinski, that Socceroos Scott Chipperfield's organised. He's battling stage 4 melanoma. And I know that they're looking at this franchise, Wollongong, but there's nothing there. There's no conclusive group. The way that they're looking to support it, South Coast want to combine with the Sutherland Shire. Now, that's the biggest junior association in the Southern Hemisphere. Jimmy knows it only too well.
Yeah, both his boys are playing.
Two Smith boys in there.
Yeah, you see the numbers. That's probably the model. Where else would you have a franchise in Sydney? Because the West is covered, the inner city or eastern suburbs of Sydney.
I've got to say, Andy, living in the Sutherland Shire, there is a lot of Sydney FC fans down there.
Big time.
Yeah, so Sydney FC would lose them.
Sydney FC fans are pretty much everywhere. They were the first team.
Yeah.
You know, the Wanderers are the new kids on the block. Where do you put a new franchise? And that's why in Victoria, they're looking at Geelong. Geelong's probably the next step. Look, ideally, Wollongong was always a great, great platform, you know, for players to come through. Look at some of the great players that have come through there and the results they achieved in the old National League. So I'd love to see a team to come out of the Wollongong. If they embrace Southern Sydney, mm-hmm. why not? Mm. Why not if you can tap in, if there's a pathway? But you're right, there's a lot of Sydney supporters in the Shire as well. Mm.
Sydney FC are going great guns in the A-League, but unfortunately in the women's they've lost their semi-final 5-1 away to Perth, Andy.
That was a big result, wasn't it? Kaya Simon gave Sydney the lead in the 23rd minute, then it was all downhill. And the winner there, Perth, will face either Canberra or Melbourne today at GIO Stadium in Canberra. Interestingly enough, this was a good decision by FFA on Friday. This game was pushed back. Given the hot weather that we're yep. expecting today, it was pushed back from, I think, at 2 o'clock off to 8 p.m. tonight. So to the victor, Melbourne City already winning the Youth League. They beat Sydney FC last weekend in the Youth League Grand Final. So the treble is certainly no longer for Sydney. They are certainly the benchmark, as we know, in the A-League. But let's go to the Reds.
Well, hang on, Andy. I was going to... Earlier this season, they were going to... They thought Jurgen Klopp was a deity. Now, have they burned any effigies of him yet in the streets of Liverpool?
No, they haven't
quick
yet.
Quick to turn, Jim.
Oh, yeah.
The problem for them is that you expect that Man City tonight will do a job at home against Swansea. I mean, $1.20 yeah. against Swansea at $13. And what that will do, that will propel Man City above Liverpool. And if Man United get the points at Leicester, which they should, that will lift them up to 45 points. So at the moment, you've got Chelsea on 59, Spurs on 50, Arsenal 47, Liverpool and Man City on 46, United 22, and Everton, another big winner overnight, they're on 40 points. So one win now for the Reds in 10 games in all comps. They're out of both cups, as we know.
Horrific.
Last night was their fourth loss in the last five games they've played. It's just tragic.
It's terrible.
How do they lift themselves out of hot side out there. They brought on, you know, Sterling. They brought on Origi, Moreno. They brought on their
big guns,
they had
yeah.
in reserve, but they just couldn't get the points, mate. I don't know. Maybe the gloss has disappeared. I just feel for Reds fans because, as we know, they're one of the most popular teams in the world.
I haven't seen that, but no doubt there's some Liverpool newspapers with the headline Jurgen Flop. Surely.
Oh, they'll be out there now.
Yeah.
Don't worry. They'll
Chelsea,
be out there now.
Yeah, Chelsea over the line.
Can't be stopped.
Yeah, they over the line, Andy.
Look, I think they're like Sydney. They're going to be tough to...
9 points clear now. So,
have a look at the goal by Eden Hazard too. The second goal they scored, a cracking solo run. And Lukaku, four goals for Everton in a 6-3 whitewash at Bournemouth.
Wow.
West Ham, big winners away. 3-1 at Southampton. Sunderland, 4-0 at Palace where...
Goals galore overnight.
Yeah, and look, Spurs did enough against Borough, just a Harry Kane penalty. They did hit the woodwork in the first half, offside goal. So at the moment, you've got three teams behind Spurs, a few points behind Spurs. And yeah, mate, it's really for Chelsea to lose the title in
right.
a sense, isn't it?
No,
I think you're
they,
right.
They can't do it. Man City all up into Man United, and then also you like the Mariners today
yep.
as well. Andy, good on you, mate. We'll speak again next week.
We will, Roys, and stay out of the heat.
Good on you. Thanks, Andy.
Be careful. Andy Pascaletti's here with all of those in football. I've just come up with a new bet that you and I can have.
Which is?
I'm going to throw it to you on air right now and see whether you accept. Okay. How about another carton of beer? Who finishes higher on the table, Man United or Liverpool?
Okay.
How about that?
All right.
At the end of the 38 games,
sounds good.
Whoever's highest receives a carton of beer.
Last much.
Of their choice.
You can get Crownies on special for about $46, Jimmy. So
you're a Crownies man, eh?
Want a bit one nice and early for me.
There you go. Fair enough.
Liverpool.
1353-53 is the open line number, which is the number you need to call if you'd like to be a part of the Event Cinemas quiz.
Okay, get this over and done. We'll score check, Jim.
Can we do a little score check? 4-0. 4-0 at this stage.
I feel like Jurgen Klopp is going downhill.
Look, it's the double pass. It's the VMAX double pass. Mm-hmm. And we've had a caller a little bit earlier saying, an SMS saying, your competitions aren't fair. They suit people close to Sydney or thereabouts because you're talking about the races and so forth. Okay. But I'll tell you this. There are Event Cinemas in Newcastle, in Lismore, in Shell Harbour, in Wollongong, in Coffs Harbour. They're all around New South Wales. We get our tickets from Event Cinemas at Parramatta, But there are event cinemas, and you can use these tickets anywhere around those the state of New South Wales. So if you'd like to be part of the quiz, call now, 1353 53.
The best building industry apprentices are Master Builders Apprentices, and you need one today. Master Builders Apprentices are regarded as the best in the industry, and you can have one for 4 weeks or 4 years. Your call. You do zero paperwork, because Master Builders do it all, and we even cover the workers' comp as well. Quoting is made easier, as you only pay for the time the MBA apprentice is on site with a hammer in his hand. Do it. Contact Master Builders now for the best. Google MBA NSW now.
Lose the beer gut without losing all the beers. G'day, Adam McDougal here.
I lost the beer gut.
My husband lost his beer gut.
Our dad lost his beer gut.
Thanks to the Manshake.
Shake off those extra kilos today at themanshake.com.au.
Consult your GP before beginning any diet.
You can't help but love the Super Bowl, and this year we've designed plenty of winning plays. Right now, we've got a stack of great odds available across a wide range of markets, including head-to-head, line, margin, and first score type. And to help you avoid any third and long situations, check out our expert analysis and tips online or on the Tab app. Get on the big game now on the Tab app, tab.com.au, or head into your local. Tab, we love a bet. Gamble responsibly.
Penrith Mazda are the BT50 experts. Come and see the newly appointed Mazda Ute Centre at Penrith Mazda with over 50 Utes on display.
Wow.
Let the specialists at Penrith Mazda Centre tailor a BT50 to your specific needs. Penrith Mazda Centre, 14 times, Jimmy, Mazda Master Dealer.
Not surprised at all.
With more than 300 new Mazdas in stock over 5 acres, so you're sure to find the Mazda you're looking for. Penrith Mazda Centre, family-owned and operated, Mulgoa Road, Penrith, just off the M4, MD18808.
The Big Sports Breakfast Weekend is brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the number one BT50 dealer in New South Wales. Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
4-0, the score in the quiz. Sim and Tim are up. So you're Sim, you're going to go first, okay. Roman. But before we go any further, we've got the Event Cinemas double pass, the VMAX tickets, courtesy of Prakash and the team out there at Event
He's
Cinemas
gone
at
global,
Paramount.
Prakash, yeah, cause of you.
Yeah, long jeans. They were the long jeans.
World's best.
World's best cinema.
Cinema manager.
Yes, yeah. Okay. And I think they ran third in the popcorn category too, which is remarkable comeback after that little issue with the fire in the popcorn
machine. That's a good enough prize on its own. But
your generosity has come to the fore again, okay. And we're going to give away Good Times Captured Live, Australian-made 30th anniversary edition. The DVD, Barnsley and
Great
Michael
stuff.
Hutchins. So two superstars of Australian music.
Okay.
And by the way, we get them out nice and early these days too, not like previous years where it might be years before you see your prize from this program. Thank you for someone who didn't hang on too long to my CD. I received it on Wednesday after winning it on Sunday. That's Vicky from Port Macquarie.
Oh,
no worries,
10.
Vicky.
That'll be 10. Yeah.
Good work, 10.
Yeah,
well done there.
Nice
and yes, that's our topic for today, isn't it?
Yes.
Sports people who hung on too long. Mm. Morning, boys. After being a huge fan, it was sad to see the demise of Iron Mike Tyson chasing money instead of glory.
He had
so many issues outside
of the boxing ring.
Yeah.
Score check,
much
Jimmy.
Like you have issues with the quiz.
Yeah, what score check is?
4-0.
Okay.
My favour.
So, hey, Sim, you there?
Good morning.
Sim,
yes.
Good morning. You're playing with me today. You know what this means, Sim, that we are due. So the very best of luck. Here's question number one. Who did Sydney FC play in the A-League on Friday night? Was it Brisbane Roar, Wellington Phoenix or Melbourne City?
Brisbane Roar.
Solid start, Sim, solid start. Question number two. Who do the Cairns Taipans play in the NBL today? Is it the Perth Wildcats, Melbourne United or Illawarra Hawks?
Who do the Taipans play?
Yeah. Cairns Taipans in the NBL today. Who are they playing? Perth Wildcats, Melbourne United or Illawarra Hawks?
Illawarra.
Perth Wildcats. Okay, question number three. This is a producer Jeremy special, Jim.
Yes.
Here we go. Best of luck with this one, Sim. In which month of 2017 will the Cycle Ball World Cup event number 3 be held? Will it be September, October or November?
I'll take October.
Oh, bad luck, Sim. It was November. How would you ever get
that? Cycle Ball World Cup event?
Event number 3.
I know how you get it.
Yeah.
You know how you get it?
No, how?
You guess. That's how you get
it. That's all the way you get it.
And that's what we want Tim to do. G'day, Tim.
Hey, boys. How you going?
How's Muswellbrook?
Mate, pretty warm.
Yeah, beautiful, pretty warm, I'd imagine. Muscle. Yeah, good. It is a good
golf
part of the
course.
World.
Yeah, good golf course.
Musselbrook,
yeah.
Golf course. You played there, haven't
very
you?
Very flat, yeah.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, played many
that's where I work, please.
Oh, there you go. There you go, yeah. Lovely little golf course, Tim.
What are you on the greens there, Tim?
No, I'm behind the bar, mate.
Perfect spot.
Even better. Yeah. You'll be
yeah,
in
you see, mate.
Air conditioning today.
Will be. Yeah. Or the cool room, one of the two.
That's the way.
Where's Tim? Yeah. Or he's in the cool room again. Fair enough.
Can't blame him for that.
And what you'd like, really, is to have a couple of tickets to Event Cinemas in your back pocket, too, after
DVD.
A win today. Yes, there we go. Here's question one, Tim. Who do the Central Coast Mariners play in the A-League today? Is it Adelaide United, Perth Glory, or the Newcastle Jets?
The Mariners play Adelaide, I believe.
You believe
solid
correctly.
Start.
Question two. Who did the New Zealand Breakers play in the NBL overnight? Was it the Sydney Kings, the Adelaide 36ers, or the Brisbane Bullets?
New Zealand, I reckon, played Adelaide.
Oh, stop the fight.
It's all over. Yeah.
Stop the just out of interest.
Fight's over.
Tim, just out of interest. In which month of 2017 will the ICF Dragon Boat Club Crew World Championships be held? Is it August, September, or October?
Well... Probably September.
Of course. When I think dragon boats, I know. It's football semi-finals and dragon boat racing in
clean
September.
Sweet. Well done,
mate,
Tim.
Mate, too easy, Tim. You stay on the line, mate. We're going to get... We should just send them to the Musselbrook Golf Club.
We should, yeah.
Tim,
might as well.
Found in the cool room.
having a quiet beer. Good on you, Tim.
Couple of tickets to Vent Cinemas and the Australian-made DVD, courtesy of Sony Music. So stay on the line, Tim. We'll get your details. Well done. So if I could just make an adjustment...
Where's the closest Vent Cinema quiz to Musselbrook?
You can nearly...
Can you check that?
You've nearly turned this off.
I know, yeah. We stopped the fight.
Yeah. Newcastle would
I feel
be
like
the...
that guy who fought Quade Cooper on last night.
I think you're better prepared
Friday
than him,
night.
Which is probably more embarrassing.
Terrible, wasn't it? Was
yeah.
That
yeah, no, that wasn't good. But what was good was the performance of Tim there in that quiz.
3-0,
so
yeah.
Well done. So, yeah, 5-0 is the score now leading into this tournament between you and I. Thanks a lot, Ray. Now I've got the song There's Only One Tony Lockett going through my head, and it'll probably last all day.
Once it gets in your head, it does, doesn't it?
Yeah. Well, how does it go again?
Well, it's just,
come on, how does it go again?
You're the singer, monks. I've got the world's worst singing voice, so you can branch out into song, which is something you've always wanted to do.
Well, now that you mention that, it's a chance for us to bring it up.
Mm?
I saw yesterday the celebrations. Australia still have another couple of reverse ties to go
correct.
In the Davis Cup.
They're through.
First round tie against the Czech Republic, right?
They're through.
Yeah. The way they carried on after that victory, dousing each other in Gatorade and singing Holy Grail by Hunters and Collectors.
Which was a terrible rendition, by the way.
No one's a bigger fan of the Hunters and Collectors than I.
Holy Grail, one of the great songs.
One of the great songs, but it was butchered by Jordan Thompson and his teammates and little Cruz Hewitt in there as well. I've got to say,
that bit.
They've tipped Gatorade all over each other. They tipped
Gatorade.
They tipped Gatorade all over Leighton Hewitt when he was doing his interview on Channel 7. And then Nick Kyrgios comes and tips some more Gatorade.
They haven't
I've
won
got
anything
to say,
yet, Jim.
It was juvenile in the extreme.
They haven't won anything yet.
They've got through to the quarterfinals.
And they're long odds on anyway, against a Czech team with two players who, not in the top 100, were they? The two singles players.
Vasily might have been. Yeah. But anyway, I just thought, you know what? I'm looking at that. If I'm a sports marketer or a major corporation, looking at that, I'd say, nah, that's juvenile.
But conversely, does it build team spirit?
Don't defend them.
I'm not defending. I'm with you. I think it was ridiculous. But does it build team spirit? Does it build a sense of we're together, let's try and get through and really progress in the Davis Cup for a change?
There's a time and place for that, Ray.
Agreed.
And I just thought
debate finishes. You
completely overblown. Completely overblown. Anyway, the talk topic is people who've hung on too long. And we get this from our friend Master Monkey. Saw Steve Cummings in the sports last week. That's hanging on too long. On the odd occasion that Steve remembered the lyrics, he was out of tune anyway. Not sport, you say? Their sport is ripping off baby boomers. Master Monkey, I even picked losers in the music world. So there you go. We do appreciate that. This was an interesting one that came. We were talking about Darren Gouch. He had a win yesterday in his final day of racing before starting with Racing Victoria in a mentoring role. Gouch was a decent jockey. I just don't think he was A-class. As he should have won the 2005 Melbourne Cup. I realise it would have spoiled the Maccabi Diva party, but the horse he was on should have won. If McAvoy had stayed on it after winning the Geelong Cup on it, I firmly believe he would have had it in the right position to win. So there you go. No name on that one, but had a go, bit of a go at Darren Gauchi. 1353 53 is the open line number. Time now to hear from the first time today from Tanya with our scratchings around New South Wales. Morning, Tan.
Thanks, Jimmy. Good morning to you. Good morning, everyone. Racing today in New South Wales is at the Sapphire Coast and Mudgee. Starting with the Sapphire Coast, the weather is fine. The track a good four. Rail true. Penetrometer 3.45. And there are 20 scratchings. Race one, take out four. Biblos Boy and seven. Annie Prue, four and seven. Out of race two, number two, Robbery. Three, Hadjuk. Five, Catch the Culprit, and eight, Trinket Chick, 2, 3, 5, and 8. Race three, number one, Oh So Unfair, and four, Miss Willy Nilly, 1 and 4 from race three. Out of the fourth, number 10, Rightly Written, and 13, The Blitz, 10 and 13. Race five, number one, Melbourne Star, 2, Nagging, and 8, Singled Out, 1, 2, and 8. Race 6 is clear. Race 7, take out 4, Supervision, and 9, Red Fender, 4 and 9. And race 8, take out 4, Archie's Flat, 5, Croix de Vere, 9, Clipper, 10, Yorgos, and 11, Salesman, 4, 5, 9, 10, and 11 from race 8 at the Sapphire Coast. Mudgee, weather overcast, the track a good 3, the rail is true, and 15 scratchings. Race 1 is clear. Race 2, take out 8, DARPRA, number 8 from race 2. Race 3, number 4, Schindler, 5, Sienta, 16, Irish Spy, and 18, Bell Roscoe, 4, 5, 16, and 18. To race 4, take out 2, Fiscal Policy, 4, Brimondo, and 5, Manikov, 2, 4, and 5. Race 5, number 7, Johnny's Cash, and 13, Sebring Style, 7 and 13. To race 6, take out 4, Dan Roy, number 4 from race 6. And race 7, number 10, Lan Duncan, 12, How Will I Know, 14, Mina Mahal, and 16, Blinkin' Rockin', 10, 12, 14, and 16 from race 7 at Mudgee.
And just to let you know, we're getting a couple of tips here from Raymond Tan. I don't know whether he skites about this when he gets home, but he's on fire at the moment. Last a fortnight ago, a $15 winner. And you did it even on the plane, flying over to England for Longines. And then last week, a couple of about $3.20, $3.40 winners.
You backed them both.
Well, got them both, yeah.
A couple of tips today. In the first, Jim, Snippet of Hope, part owned by our good friend Aaron Molan. Ready to win.
Is that right?
Yes, Nick Olive Trains. Race 1, number 3.
Canberra connection there.
Snippet of Hope, yes. Yeah. Down to race 3, number 3, Tip to 10, TV. Very, very hard to beat. Race 3, number 3, Tip to 10, TV. That's the showcase meeting at the Sapphire Coast.
$4.40, Snippet of Hope.
Be hard to beat.
Currently listed in $2.60, Tip to 10, TV.
Correct. And Mudgee today, it's
yes.
Championship preview day out at Mudgee. Race 5, number 2, I think you pronounce it Mokwayo. He's over the odds at $13, Jim. Drawn perfectly, won't be too far away. Bobby Alyssa, we had him on the show a couple of weeks ago, riding well. $13 chance, I think he'll start less than that, but get on him now, he'll run a good race for you.
They've had a big time out there at Mudgee the last few days, haven't they? They had the big sports breakfast turn up there on Friday for the Peter Sterling, Kenny Sutcliffe charity golf day. Then they had the Waratahs up against the Brumbies yesterday out there at Twin Willows. And then, of course, they've got the races there today as well. So a big sporting weekend for the town of Mudgee.
And this one from Parramatta, as usual, he's nailed it. Sad to hear the quiz score, Ray. Sounds like you need to buy Jimmy the carton in February.
Well, to be honest, that's why I put the Liverpool Manchester United thing in there. Just
a little
bit of spice, you know, because this is almost, dare I say it, don't want to go the early crow.
Stop the fight. It's all over.
Are you willing to concede?
5-0. It's early doors, Adrian.
Oh, if you conceded, then I would have changed my opinion.
Early doors, mate. What do you say? The most competitive man.
Oh, mate, sneaky competitive. Absolutely sneaky competitive. Just unbelievable.
Wait until we play golf one day, Jimmy.
Yeah. I can't wait to get you in the cricket game. I'll get you in a cricket game. I think you're a knicker and nudger. You think you're graceful. Somewhere in between lies the truth, I reckon. And we just need to find out with you having a hit.
I reckon you'll come in and bowl about 6 bounces in a row.
No, you'll be on our side.
You'll be with you.
Guys.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
With the good guys.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, no, don't worry. Look, I thought John from Moorbank had a little bit of a go at Terry Lamb previously, which I thought was a little bit harsh. Jimmy Barr is still one of my favourite players of all time. Have a good day, John from Moorbank. All right, Just to clear that up. Now,
so he wasn't enticed back because of Super League. It was the year before, was it?
No, it was the year before. Okay. No. It wasn't Super League. The reason he was enticed back was because Jared McCracken, Dean Pay, Jim Dimmick and Jason Smith all went to Parramatta.
Correct.
So the Bullfrog Moore said, hey, we need to get you to play again. He had retired. Mm. So Terry Lamb did it for the club. So you can't be critical of that. You can't
Correct.
Be critical of that. 1353 is the open line number. We are looking for people who have hung on too long. The Dungog Dragon says, bet the NRL are envious of the crowds the AFL women are attracting. Their skills are so impressive. Dungog Dragon.
I think that was very much tongue-in-cheek.
Do you think? No, I think he's fair dinkum. Dungog Dragon, you let us know. I think he's fair dinkum about that. I think they will go off the boil because there's nothing going on at the moment.
Mm.
You know, there's no competition for them on a Friday night. People who watch the A-League will be upset with that, but
Ray,
900,000 people watch them across free-to-air and subscription television.
That's what I wanted to bring up with you. Last week we were having a debate about the TV audience potentially for the Federer-Nadal final.
Didn't get near.
Did you do your homework?
Didn't get near it.
What was the ultimate result?
They got about 2.6 million. Across
still
five,
very, very good.
Oh, no, it's an excellent result. It's huge.
Compared to the 4 mil for the Hewitt
4.1 million.
That's amazing.
And you know what it is?
Australian.
And that's why we hear Daria Dasho. Isn't she fantastic? Oh, that's brilliant. Oh, brilliant. That's what we hear. Mm. It's the Australian flavour that gets the Australians interested.
Mm.
Rightly or wrongly, two of the greatest of all time.
Makes sense.
Going head to head, and they drew 2.6 million. And you got Lil Leighton. Well, he was a great player. Up against Marat Safin, and you can draw 4.1 million. So
amazing.
That's you know what the second highest sports, because I had a look at it during the week.
Mm.
I might have meant last
the
week.
Melbourne
anyway,
Cup or something.
No, it wasn't the Melbourne Cup.
Mm.
The 2003 rugby final.
World Cup. Okay,
final.
Yeah, fair enough. Australia and England. Australia
v England in extra time.
Johnny Wilkinson.
Yeah.
Kicked
there
us
you
down
go.
The World Cup. There you go. And once again, the local angle.
The local angle, of course. You had to get the locals involved. 1353 53 the open line.